and welcome to the Awesome Comics Podcast, a place where small press comics and beyond make a hell of a lot of noise. It's episode 135, and I'm Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mask from Mars, and joining me this week are the creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
And the man who, from the looks of it, will be responsible for more panels than Jack Kirby, it's Tony Esmond.
Feels like we've only just done a panel, doesn't it? Like in the last 24 hours, almost.
Yeah, in the last 24 hours. Anyone would think that I'd be sick and tired of talking to you two, but no, I'm back for more. Yes, as you all know, we were talking a lot about True Believers 2018 for the past 6 months or so in the lead up, because they were, as well as seeing all the guests and stuff, we were also launching a comic. But as we speak now, that was yesterday, and we had the whole day. And in one word, how would you describe it, gents? Tony?
That's not much of a word, Tony. It's like a cum word. The only thing I'd say, it went by so quickly, didn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, fucking end of that, I said to you two, I don't know where the day's gone.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It was an extremely busy day. We were extremely busy on all fronts.
We stormed it.
Yep. Yeah. Tony was doing panels all day.
Yep.
Dan played an absolute blinder, both with Vanguard and interviews and more, which you're going to hear a little bit more of in a minute.
Thank you.
And the Awesome Comics launch went extremely well.
Yeah. It did. Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
We set ourselves a target, didn't we? We over-doubled it.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, so, we're going to do some shout-outs and thanks in a bit. But what we do have this week, you're not going to hear much of it because, let's face it, we're all still recovering.
Yeah.
And
I think you've got a cold coming, because I've got a cold, and you slept in fairly close proximity to me, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could feel your breath on my neck.
Wasn't my breath.
Oh dear. Oh, I don't know what audience that's for. It was a great weekend, and we got lots of shout outs, and we'll talk a little bit more about it in a bit. But we managed to get a fair bit of interview footage.
Yeah.
Now, normally we joke about this because we say we're going to try and get interviews. Normally we get two, maybe three creators. And sometimes we end up just talking to like some of our mates anyway, so some of them you've already heard before. I mean, they're always good. You know, they're always fantastic.
Tony said, it's difficult. The day goes past so quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you don't really want to interrupt people when they're trying to sell their comics, etc.
Yeah.
So you try and quickly grab 5 or 10 minutes for people. But
we've always got that intention of doing it before we open, haven't we?
Yeah.
And you go around and people are sort of busy chatting and, you know, coming in and like making the day start. And we didn't do the intro till about, I think it was gone 11, wasn't it, or something?
It's 11:30, as you'll hear on the audio. Yeah. But we managed to get some new voices, new creators that we've never even spoken of, let alone spoken to. So there's plenty of new creators for you to find out this week, which is brilliant. Not only that, and the interviews are pretty hilarious and amazing in their own right.
Nuts.
But yeah, you've got plenty to look forward to. But we did a panel at the end of the day at True Believers.
Yeah.
Now, unfortunately, the recording of the panel sort of fell through. Unfortunately, they weren't able to record it. But that's not how we play the game.
Stepped up with your Samsung phone.
I stepped up with my phone, which some
we
people...
We put it into the speaker, didn't we? And it actually did it.
Low-tech solution to a high-tech problem.
Yeah.
You just stuck speaking at the phone next to the speaker.
Yeah, and we just went for it. I didn't honestly think we were going to pick up anything. We had a special guest. We won't spoil who it was. We had
a surprise guest
on the panel. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I came home, the audio actually worked. So not only have you got all the interviews, and there's plenty to chew into there, but you've also got another like 40-minute panel. So... We're spoiling
it. We are more stupid than we normally are on that one, I've got to tell you.
Fuck me. It's like I've been lobotomized.
Well.
That was actually your first live panel, isn't it, Dan?
It was.
It's our previous two. So that was great to have you there. If it did really feel like we... I always try not to look at the audience, all 800 of them, and it did feel like we were just doing a panel, actually. Sort of, it was good.
Yeah, I tried not to look at the audience because kind of like there's a couple of times I looked down and caught people's eye and it felt really weird.
Yeah.
I'm the only one out of us three at the moment who's heard the panel back. And
right.
I know what it's like to do a panel and then walk away from the panel thinking, what on earth did I talk about? Did any of that make sense?
Yeah.
But trust me, gents, it was good.
Oh, 100%. That's right.
Yeah. Even let's not say it is, but we got someone out the front who was funny as fuck. Who was making us laugh. And even you reckon he's come out, haven't you?
Yep. Yep. Awesome. And you might even hear a bit of audience participation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. So we've got plenty to give you. I'll tell you who else has got plenty to give you.
Oh,
that's Comic House.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Porn Star.
No. Well, I'm not going to make any judgment there. No, Comic House, of course. You know, what would an awesome comics pod be without the little, terrible little sponsorship ads? Yeah, they help sponsor this little show and keep us going to give you weekly free episodes and keep our rider full of green M&Ms and, I don't know, kale smoothies, whatever Dan drinks.
I've never eaten kale. That's fact.
You've never eaten kale?
No. Not to my knowledge.
I had it in Pret a Manger once.
Unless someone snuck it in a sandwich, I can't recall eating it.
I don't like it when people sneak things into sandwiches.
No.
What's the worst thing that you've had snuck into a sandwich?
Cock.
So, Comic House.
it wasn't rugby tour. You can't blame them. Those things happen on rugby.
I'm not
tour,
even. I'm not even. Was it attacked? No, I'm not getting. So, I'm not.
No.
Nah. I hope so.
Yeah.
Christ. It takes on a scary turn if it's not.
Yeah, someone's shot one off, brought it with them on rugby tour.
Dismembered penis on a rugby tour. Anyway.
How did we get here?
Yeah, how did we get here?
What happened?
Well, I can't even attempt a segue out of that.
Anyway, Comic House.
Yeah, on Comic House. Much like a rugby tour sandwich selection, they have a massive selection of comics.
Nice.
Thanks. And I don't think there's much cock in them.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. No, in all seriousness, though, you'll find a huge library of comics that you can order. You can, if you like your printed copies, like the brilliant Comic House anthology itself and so much more. Or if, like me, you can't really get to your local comic book shop that easily, or maybe it's just not very good, and you buy all your monthly comics when you head to a bigger store, and so therefore I read them digitally, then you should definitely sign up to the Comic House app. You can see the whole library of brilliance on there, as well as from small press comics to titles like Lock and Key and Judge Dredd and X-Files crossed with 30 Days a Night, I believe.
Yeah,
My Little Pony, etc., etc. There's loads on there. So it's you sound look. There's a massive audience for that, Tony.
I know. It just sounded like it was Your Little Pony. The way you said it was sort of familiar. Yeah. Like you ordered it before.
I have a little pony.
You're a brony, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll put it in a sandwich.
I'm not judging
for
you. I like
anyway,
it.
Right. Anyway, get the app, and it's available now. And for only £3 a month, you get access to all the comics you could ever want. And plus, I think there's a 14-day free trial, isn't there? So go to comichouse.com to find out more and get involved. So there you go. And, now we're all a little bit tired, so we're going to go into our little cave, and we're going to cuddle up, aren't we, and have a little bit of a snooze.
Yeah.
And while we're doing that, you can listen to the interviews. See how we did, and discover.
And Dan isn't really on the intro because he was busy doing the jam piece already, weren't you?
I was. He was. Yeah. He was, but then he came back with a vengeance and got some absolutely smashing audio. So there you go. Butcher stepped up to the plate.
Yeah, I'd say the one you did with Nick was brilliant, mate. Really interesting. I speak to Nick every day, and there's got things I didn't know there.
Yeah. Oh, nice one.
Yeah, really good.
Yeah. Time to discover more, folks. So here you go. Here is the interview section of our time at True Believers 2018. Okay, it's True Believers 2018. It's half 11.
Yeah.
There you go. The day is flying by, and this is the first bit of audio that we're doing for our True Believers special.
Part of the episode.
Yeah, part of the episode.
Last night we had fun, didn't we?
It was lovely last night.
You did talk After Lights out, which I told you not to.
So did you.
And we watched the Dolph Lundgren movie in our pants.
Yeah.
Went to the
Yeah. Dan Butcher is currently drawing
Wacky Races.
Wacky Races at the moment.
You know, it's wacky and not whacking.
Oh, my word. So as you can tell, folks, we're going to endeavour to try and get some audio today. And we'll put it all together at the end of the day. So be prepared for... We've got a lot... Tony's doing a lot of panels. We're going to be doing a lot of talks. And we're also doing a panel ourselves at the end of the day. So when you hear the last bit of audio, we will be a mess.
It's going to be a fucking absolute mess. Oh, look, it is.
Yeah. And speaking of which, one of our former guests has turned up to say hello.
One of our favourite guests.
One of our favourite guests. His name is... no, we're not going to say that on air right now. But yes, check out the next, half an hour? Could be anything.
5 minutes.
It could be 5 minutes. It could be 2 hours long. We shall see. Catch you later, folks.
Okay, I'm here with Samuel George London. I'll be calling him Sam from now on. We're going to be talking a bit about Milford Green.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. Kickstarted, started on Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can tell us a bit about the comic?
Gosh, yeah. So it's a one-shot complete story of a socially awkward inventor called Alfie Fairfield. It's set on a summer's evening in 1897. He's reading a book on top of a hill because he's that type of introverted type of guy.
Got some of those shots on the it must be on the Kickstarter page.
The art there, and then just out of nowhere this flying vehicle shoots across the sky and crash lands in a field just outside of Milford Green. Itself is about what happened on that night in 1897. Okay. So it's kind of Victorians and aliens.
Nice one.
Basically.
To be fair, like the kind of character sheets and the stuff you put up about it just drew me straight in.
Yeah.
Like, you can usually see like a quality Kickstarter when it comes around, and that was really like... There's another guy, Jay Gunn, who does surface tension, and I've got a real kind of same vibe. He's really invested in the art and the story. It really comes out through it.
Yeah.
So, awesome. Yeah, I'll be back in that.
I've said that about three or four
Kickstarters now. I've got to do
I mean, at the moment, it seems like there are so many really good ones out there. I'm back in here and there and everywhere.
So is this like the kind of the first comic you've done, or is it something you've done
before? Yeah, so, I mean, this is the first Kickstarter that I've done. I tried a webcomic last year called Resilience, which is basically kind of Walking Dead set in the UK.
Nice,
basically.
Yeah. I'll read that.
I kind of, you know, treated it as kind of an experiment in terms of writing and trying to work out how to structure stories and things like that, because I only got into comics like a few years ago. You know, I haven't been a comic fan for decades, you know, so trying to work out how to actually structure a story and what sounds like an actual person speaking, kind of what works in comics and what doesn't and things like that. So I treated that like a laboratory.
Was there any kind of an artist or writer that you went to kind of like was there any kind of writer or artist you kind of went to thinking, right, this person, the creator, has it down, and you went to them as kind of like a frame of reference or anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, I got into this world because of The Walking Dead, actually. So, you know, you watch the show, and it's like, oh, this is based on a comic, I'll check out the comic, that's cool. And you find out about Robert Kirkman, you kind of read his back catalogue, and then you find out about people like Mark Miller, and then you read stuff like that, and then you find out that there's a whole kind of small press community where there's Vanguard, you know, there's the Red Mask from Mars, there's all of you guys. And I didn't know any of this until, like, you know,
relatively recently,
a couple of years ago, really, like even a year ago, really. And so, you know, it's really kind of been an incredible experience finding out about this whole community.
It's like small press has really kind of come up over the past few years with like the level of quality is shooting up. And you can look around, there's a lot on offer that maybe you wouldn't find in the mainstream.
Yeah.
And it's great when you kind of like just come across a creator or a comic, and I've never heard of this before, and it's brilliant. And it's like, so when you kind of sent over a tweet, check this out, I was like, oh, this is great. This is
that is awesome, man.
But you do have magic. Like a background in illustration, is that correct?
No, not myself. So the artist that's doing Milford Green, Michael Hankinen.
Yeah.
He's from Finland, and it's a ish funny story. So originally I went to an artist called Eli. I can't pronounce her last name because of P. Yeah. I don't want to do it any disjustice because it's a Finnish name and I don't want to mess it up. But she writes a webcomic called Tisto. Okay. And that had a really, really successful Kickstarter. And I came across that last year whilst I was coming up with this story of Milford Green. And I thought, that art is absolutely perfect. Because it took me ages to go through DeviantArt and like look at, okay, what's going to work? And because it's very particular, Victorians and aliens, and trying to work out exactly what type of art.
You want an artist that can kind of nail the period stuff and researches that kind of stuff.
Exactly. And so, I mean, Tisto, it's really kind of, it's really fantastical. But also kind of not realistic per se, but you know, it's humans, but then there's like fantasy elements in there, so that absolutely was perfect. But Ellie's too busy, and they've got a sister webcomic called Year and Hereafter by Michael, and she recommended Michael, and you know, he's got a very similar art style and the colouring and everything, and I thought that's absolutely ideal.
That's
he was available, and I pitched him the story, and he's like, that's cool, man.
So you went through kind of DeviantArt trying to find find artists, okay.
So I went to DeviantArt, you know, click on the comics, and then, you know, tried to get it even finer in terms of Victorian.
Yeah.
And then you scroll through, I spent at least a few days scrolling through DeviantArt.
There's a wealth of talent, but there's a lot of...
There's a lot of stuff up there.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. That's a great way of putting it.
I want to try to be quite as possible.
You kind of go through that and find the kind of... The diamonds in the rough, as it were.
Yeah.
But again, when you get kind of an artist who kind of gets your wavelength from what you're trying to do, I was mentioning this to Nick earlier, the writer and the artist can kind of put the project into their combined creativity, can bring something more out of it with the two of them working together. So we look forward to seeing what he comes up with for Green.
Much appreciated, Dan.
Cheers, Sam.
That's awesome. Thanks.
See you later.
This is part of the interview.
I've only just started it, so you're lucky. Yeah. She said she loves me.
No, I really, really, really do.
I am here with Lizzie Boyle. I want to call you the matriarch of Disconnected Press. Have you ever been called a matriarch?
I don't think so.
Have I offended you?
No, you haven't.
Good.
Oh, look, just as a side, this is like live at Comic Con. Here comes my cup of coffee and my muffin.
Delivered by the sexiest delivery boy in comics, it's Connor Boyle.
He's still here.
Oh, that's lovely. So I've come over to the Disconnected table because I wandered over here and I've got all of the rest of their stuff. Yes, I am recording, Connor. Don't give me those eyes. And there was a book that I did not have that was launched at Thought Bubble last year.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to ask you for the title, but I'm going to add, what is this book about?
This book is about how the world would respond to, how different people would respond to seeing something that looked like superhero powers being used. So a Mexican fisherman, elderly gentleman, rescues some of his colleagues from drowning by walking on water. Do you think this happened? Do you think it's a hoax? Do you think he's got superpowers? Is it a miracle? How do you respond? And then how does he respond? And the book kind of weaves between the global response and his own response to what he can do.
That is, when you said you were doing superheroes, I thought it would be a unique take, and that is a take that I've never heard before. But it's completely Disconnected Press, and it looks fantastic.
I think we wanted to sort of say, well, okay, superheroes tend to happen in these made-up cities and made-up realms, so let's put one in this world.
Yeah.
And superheroes often tend to be kind of buff youngsters. So let's make this just a regular guy. He's a bit old. He's a bit frail. He's not the person you would expect to be, you know, suiting up. And let's see what happens. Let's see where he
is. It looks like a bit of a mysterious book as well. It's got that kind of look to it. And doing a bit of a... You want to say something, Connor? Go on.
It's supposed to be... It's not supposed to be something that's immediately accessible. In that, you know, if we'd have called it a superhero book, people would have immediate assumptions about what was going to happen.
Yeah.
So this can just as easily be taken as fake news. It can be taken as YouTube trickery. It can be taken as just something that the government's trying to push on you, and it's actually a false flag story.
It's a bit more of a social commentary as well, isn't it? I guess, in some ways. So what inspired this? Who came up with the idea first? They're both looking at each other.
Cut this bit out.
Joint creative partnership and pub, probably.
And a pub?
Probably.
The pub is where all the best ideas. Okay.
There is somewhere a sheet of A4 with some pencil scribbles on about this idea of the social reaction to...
If something like this actually happened, like this happened, what would actually happen?
We've still got that bit of paper, and that's in my handwriting. So, So I'm going to take the initial credit.
She's taking the credit. she's got it down. Sorry. It's official. Yeah.
Comics, you've got to be quick, otherwise you lose all your rights.
Also, you've got to have a writer, otherwise, what are you going to draw?
It'd just be a load of old...
Blank pages. And it does look great. I mean, the mystery is also in the title of it, which...
There isn't a title.
It is called Untitled, isn't it?
It is, yes.
You
can have records that don't have, albums that don't have titles. Yeah. Why not comics that don't have titles? And because we have, however many words on the front cover, you can take any one of those to be the way you see that story. Depending on how you see it.
It's a bold move, but immediately I saw the book and picked up because I wanted to know more about it, which is, So the title, it could have no title, or every single word on the cover could be the title. Because the story is its own thing, isn't it?
If you remember them all in the right order, you get a prize.
Oh, really?
No, you don't get a prize.
Oh, well, that's...
You maybe get a little kind of wave on Twitter or something.
Can you wave on Twitter?
Yeah.
But this launched at Thought Bubble last year.
Yes.
I'm getting a copy now, so you're hearing it first. But where can you actually get this?
So we will be at a number of comic conventions this year. Cardiff at the beginning of June. Sorry, backtrack. Swansea beginning of May. Cardiff beginning of June. Thought Bubble again in September. Potentially some more in between times. Or you can look on our website, which is disconnectedpress.co.uk. And there will be a link through. We have a Comixy shop for online sales as well. So start with disconnectedpress.co.uk and I'll make sure it's obvious.
And I just need to ask... Did you do the artwork for this after Hookjaw?
This was immediately after Hookjaw.
Immediate. So are you fed up of drawing water?
That's a loaded...
Or has that become your thing?
Question. No, I really... Trying to depict water in comics is actually really therapeutic because you just sit there and just paint away for hours trying to get the textures right. I'm still not sure how to do it in any way convincing. I'm still trying to figure that out.
Well, I think there's a lot of readers that will disagree with you because this looks glorious and I can't wait to read it. So there you go. I said something nice.
You did. Thank
you
very much.
Yeah, that's all right.
Give him the reassurance, he'll speak again.
Yeah. Do you want a cuddle? Come here.
Okay, so I'm here with Alex Thomas, head honcho at Pipe Dream Comics.
Hello.
And we're going to talk about the best of digital scene for Pipe Dream.
Yeah, the new issue of The Pull List. I released it earlier this week. Nice. It's available from gumroad.com/pipedreamcomics. It's our top 50 indie comics, Indian small press comics of 2017.
Nice.
Plan was to have released it at the end of last year. We released it as a web. We had it on the website with a rundown of the top 50.
I remember. Yeah, well, I was reading it as he was kind of doing the updates for it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Thank you.
I think you do such a service to kind of small press.
Thank you. It was it was quite difficult to get it down to that many.
God, yeah.
Comics, because there's so many great comics. Even just having a long list, there's like 100 plus.
You just look around the con and there's like a wealth of titles that could easily make the top 10.
Exactly, and there's quite a few that are here that did make it. So Matt Garvey's here, Sarah Millman's here, Trolltooth Wars are here. and so it's great to see so many of those books doing so well.
I've been around a couple of times and there's a couple of people that I've never seen before and their comics are amazing. That's one of the best things about small press, finding the title.
Yeah,
that just
exactly.
pops up out of nowhere.
And it's also great to see those people who we've kind of only really met online before. Like, you and I have only met a couple of times.
Yeah.
We met at London Super Comic Con once, didn't we? But otherwise, it's just interact online. So it's great to...
You never forget your first time, do you?
No. You never forget your first butcher, no.
You sort of come fast friends, like, because kind of you interact online and then you meet up with these big cons. It's like a big kind of...
Yeah, exactly. It's like meeting your own celebrity guests.
Yeah. But I'm a big fan of the pool list. Like, kind of, I think it's a quality product. I love the layout. I love everything about it.
Thank you. It's a bit of a labour of love, and yeah, try and get it out as and when I can.
Because you used to be, you are a kind of graphic designer. You do like magazine layout, and that kind of shows in the quality.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, that was my day job for 10 years, and then I stopped doing it, and then the pool list was kind of my way to get back to doing magazines again. But the magazines that I wanted to do, I could never get on and do. I did work on it briefly for SFX and magazines like that, but I never got a chance to do that full time. And this was kind of my way of doing that. So the pool list is always meant to be SFX for indie and small press comics.
It's one of those things I see, like, that could be on a shelf at W.A. Smith's.
Thank you.
Because it's like, it's great, I'd love it. Yeah. Even if it's like £5-6 a month, I'd be picking it up.
Fantastic. And it's been great. It's been so nice. People have helped out, and, you know, people like Daryl Thorpe and Reckless Hero Guys and Annie Pooley have done covers for me, and it's been amazing to get a chance to put that artwork on the cover of the magazine.
That's great.
And to give back and kind of, to try and encourage more people to get into small press. And
so you've got kind of things like ideas for the magazine going forward and pipe dream the site in general?
Yeah, I mean, kind of the plan is to try and do an issue of the pool list 4 times a year. It's just really collecting together the best interviews that I do throughout the year, and so it's a case of just keeping an eye. It's great to come here to meet people, meet old friends, meet new friends, meet new people, and to kind of develop content for future reviews and future issues of the pool list. So one thing goes into the other, really.
Yeah, I mean, highlighting some of the great stuff that when you've got the art pages in front and you cherry pick stuff out, it's fantastic, because you can, a lot of times with these cons, I'm behind the table, so I don't get a chance too much to go around and see people.
Yeah.
So when you kind of highlight stuff, it's like, wow, that person is great, I've got to get on that.
I mean, that's kind of why last year I was behind a table here and selling print copies of the pool list. And although that was an amazing experience, and I absolutely loved it, and a huge thanks to Stuart for, you know, letting me do that.
Yeah.
This year I just wanted to kind of come and be a punter and meet everybody, because although it's great being on the table, you don't get to go and see everybody else.
No, definitely not. That's kind of like, there's a definite drawback to it, and that's one of them. But I think this is, they've done really well at this con.
Yeah.
There's kind of, it's a real great, big selection of talent, and
as I say, it's a great atmosphere. I've kind of been around a couple of times, and I still don't think I've been to speak to everybody who I need to speak to yet. So I'm going to try and catch up. I need to go and see Mr. Wild Goose around the corner, who I've been looking forward to see, because I've been a big fan of Porcelain for years,
it's
and
amazing.
I know you guys were as well.
Well, he passed me the jam piece, which Vince is just working on now.
I'm ruining as you speak. I was
umming and ahhing, and Christian told me to man up. And I think I did.
You did. So. Done a good job.
Thank you. Well, awesome. Yeah, I hope you enjoyed the rest of the con.
Thank you very much. Take good care. To speak to you guys.
Okay, I'm here with Steve Sims, a creator that we've never spoken to before. And then I discover that there's a comic called Battle Badgers. Beast Hunting Battle Badgers. And I decide, if I don't speak to this man, something is wrong with the world. Hello, Steve. How's your day been?
It's been pretty good, yeah. Pretty busy, sketching away, pushing battle badgers on people.
It's not every day you hear that.
No, that's right. Well, most people see it from a distance and they go, battle badgers, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Now, how did this come about? I mean, I would imagine some people would draw the obvious parallels of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Definitely.
So was that the influence?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, as a kid, I was obsessed with Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
I grew up reading Asterix and Obelix.
Oh, nice.
So from about 6 to 10, that was my thing. And then I was about 10, Ninja Turtles came out. And it's like, that's amazing.
Yeah. So just hit you at the perfect time. Yeah.
Just amazing. Just brilliant. It's ninjas.
Did you have the van?
I
never had the van. I had the four turtles, but I never had the van.
I had a Donatello and a foot soldier, and they just used to beat up all my He-Man figures, all my Thundercats figures.
Yeah.
Basically, sort of a battle royal, some WWF characters in there as well.
Nice.
But I just loved the idea of anthropomorphic kick-ass characters, really.
Yeah.
So it was the original. Obviously, like everybody, when the cartoon came out, I thought that looks amazing.
Yeah.
But after a couple of years, I found out about the original comic, the black and white,
which is a different kettle of fish.
And that was like, the cartoon's good, but this is me.
Yeah.
especially because it was you know, comic books. Yeah. It was old school comic books, and I was just hooked. And then from there, as I grew up, obviously loved things like fantasy and D&D and stuff like that. So really, Battle Badgers is just a squish amalgamation of Asterix and Obelix, Ninja Turtles, D&D fantasy.
What a combo.
All squished together.
Now, already that sounds amazing. Well, I've just bought the issues, so there you go. He's already sold me. But for those that don't know about it, what is the story behind it?
Well, basically, Flint and Laird are two young battle badgers. They go around sorting out people's monster problems, a bit like sort of bounty hunters to hire. If you've got a dragon attacking your town or a troll or something like that, they will sort it out for some money. But their main quest is they're trying to hook up with the rest of their tribe, who have been magically captured by a strange, shrieking demon thing. So, they're on a bit of a pilgrimage, on a bit of a quest, trying to hunt down this demon thing and release their tribe, get back together with their people.
So there's a longer form story being told. With are they like episodic sort of issues, so almost standalone?
I try to keep it kind of monster of the week, you know, each issue deals with a monster, so there will always be a bit of a dust up in there, but there is this overarching quest of them trying to get back with the rest of their tribe, basically.
Awesome. And like, how long has this been going for?
I'm just starting my fourth year of it, so I get a comic book done each year, because my main job is in publishing, drawing Beast Quest, which I do 4 days a week.
Nice, awesome.
I've drawn about 100 of those over the past 10 years, so that's 4 days a week, and then one day a week I take off to do my own thing, scratch that creative itch.
Totally.
In my own style.
And you write it all, you say? This is all
yours? All me, I write, plot, pencil, ink, the whole thing.
How have you found the response? I mean, obviously you've got three issues out now, and like, you know, it's going well. You got so much swag. I said there's badger swag. We got stickers, we got badges, no pun intended. You got prints.
I've just sort of boosted that up a little bit. This con is the first time I've had stickers and mugs and things like that. Before, it was mainly the books, the prints, and a bit of original artwork. Yeah. It's kind of, as it grows and more people get more involved, they start to ask, like, have you got any extra stuff?
Oh, right.
So people ask for it, I start to slowly produce it.
That's quite a good idea, I think.
The temptation is to think, these characters look great on everything and produce loads of stuff.
Yeah.
And then when you fill your case with it and you're on your way to a con, you realise you're breaking your own back, lugging all this stuff that you might not sell.
And also, I think by the third issue, you've got fans of the book that just want to take some stuff home.
That's another
way to give fans. Especially if they're waiting, they've got another 2 months to wait for another issue.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And also, with a table at a con, it's nice to have things, a sort of pricing scale. So if a little kid runs over and he likes the look of a bit of artwork, well, say it's 10, 15 quid, well, then the mum might say, well, let's have a sticker instead. You know, so it's a good way.
They also love badges.
They do love badges and stickers and anything like that. So,
So it's going well then. So when can we expect issue 4?
Issue 4...
I get that question a lot.
Well, issue 4, I started penciling about a month ago, and it's actually going quite quickly, so it'd probably be around September, I'd say.
Is it an ongoing, or is there like, is it a six issue arc?
Six
or is it...
issue.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't believe I got that absolutely
just
right.
Like that. Yeah. Well, it's it can go further than those six issues, but anybody who does their own projects or indie comics knows that a project can be a beast.
Yeah.
You know, if you think, this will be brilliant over 20 issues, well, good luck. You know,
it'll never get done.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
So find something realistic, find a story you know you can tell within a realistic time scale.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, this is a 6-year project. I'm halfway through it, you know, and I've still got the fire to do it, and I've got a routine that I'm sticking to.
Yeah.
So a book will come out roughly around September, October each year, and each con that people come to, like Cheltenham's a big one for me. People recognise me and say, oh look, there's the next book. Some people might only go to this as their one con a year.
Totally,
you know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
it's a realistic schedule for me.
Well, I mean, have you been to Cheltenham for the past couple of years?
Yeah, I've been here.
And I cannot believe that I have not seen it. I think for the last year, I must have had my head down. I mean, yeah.
Well, usually I'm really busy at the table, so I don't get out to...
Sketching a lot. I can see there's a splinter in front of me. Is that a commission, or are you just doing it for the hell of it?
Just for the hell of it. I did have a few commissions. I've got those done. So now, later in the afternoon, it's like, relax, just doodle away, you know. So, I've been quite busy at my table the other few years. But sometimes, if I can get away from the table, I'll go and see people, introduce myself, see how things are going. And I do listen to the pod, so I did know that you guys were here.
Oh, God.
And part of it is also my kind of shyness of approaching people and say, here's what I do. And that's quite a hard thing for a lot of artists, is to actually take their work to people and say, this is me, this is what I do.
It's so personal, isn't it?
It that's is, like, yeah. It really is quite personal. So, it's cool that you came and saw me.
you put badges in your comic, you won me over immediately. So where can people get it, like, find out more about it online, etc.?
My Facebook page is where I put up all my artwork and sketches and things like that. If people message me through that, then I can send it to them through the post. It's available in Crackers in Taunton, which is my local comic shop. It's available in Excelsior in Bristol. Which is also a bit of a local comic shop for me, because I'm from the Bristol area, and I know Marcus, who runs the place, so they're selling pretty well in there. So, if people Google Battle Badgers, then it's going to pop up with, especially Beast Hunting Battle Badgers, the full title. It'll take you straight to even my website, my Facebook page, Twitter account.
I think that's it. Google it, people, and Google it now. Thank you very much, Steve. That's brilliant.
Thank you, mate.
So it's Dan here with Nick Prolix, and I'm just going to talk about what new stuff he's got on sale for this Comic Con.
How you doing, Nick?
Yeah, not bad.
So we got an offer for the lovely punters.
So what have I got? I've still got Slam Pictorial number 1 and 2. Number 3's ready to go, but I never quite got around to finish inking it over Christmas.
But you got the sketchbook, which I've just been flicking through. That's awesome.
Yeah, so I got my first sketchbook. So I robbed that idea off Matt Harrower and Mark Lamming.
So what have you kind of cherry-picked, like, characters you've liked and put them together in the sketchbook?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So it's like some stuff that I did for Inktober, a couple of commissions.
See Captain Haddock, the Shadow.
Yeah.
And who's that chap?
So that is a geezer called Frere Tuck, who was possibly the inspiration for Friar Tuck from... So it was like my Inktober theme was kind of murders and miscreants. And he was a priest that went round with a band of robbers fucking shit up.
Awesome. Sounds like
I kind of
do.
Epping Forest. Or something.
It would be great if you did like a kind of thinking Robin Hood and his Merry Men kind of band.
Yeah.
There's so many things you could absolutely do amazing strips as.
Yeah.
But you also, we launched in the Awesome Comic Issue 1, and you've done, obviously drew Cockney Kung Fu with Tony Ayres.
I mean, writing it. Just seeing it in print is fantastic. You know, just sort of sandwiched, I like to think of it, sandwiched between two slices of awesome.
is really nice sound job.
Yeah, cheers, man. And it looks great. And I'm starting on part 2.
Yeah, I've yet to start on mine. Well, good. So.
I'm just basically saying that in case Tony listens back to this bit. Yeah.
No, because kind of when I was working on mine, Tony is you were already in the bank.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
All your pages down, I was like, oh, Christ.
Yeah. So, that's because I know what I'm like. I'm just like, I get excited, do something quick, and then like forget about it and leave it to the last minute. And I thought, if I don't just nail this now in the summer when I've got some time, it's going to come to November, and I'm going to be bricking it. And it's going to be
find that, like, it's hard for me as an artist. I've started a project and then instantly like, oh, that idea is great, and you start want to do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And trying to get that discipline of working on the one project and not flitting between 100 things.
It's
tough.
Yeah, totally. And it helps. I mean, I find two things. Helps if someone's giving you some money for it.
Yeah, that's awesome. That really helps.
That was
great motivator.
Yeah, exactly. And also because you're doing it with someone else, and partly for someone else. You know, it's like a it's, you know, collaboration, and you want them to, you know, you want them to vibe what you're doing, and so that's the kind of motivator to like keep knocking pages out, because you get that little dopamine hit of like, yeah, that's cool, that's great, you know. And then now I know you gave out the PDF to a few heads on the Facebook group. Yeah. Just seeing people's responses to that, it's just been
it's really energising.
Yeah,
sort of like,
I was like, oh, I need to get
you've been sitting on this stuff and you want to give it out and
yeah,
get
exactly.
a good reactions.
Yeah, well, people have seen bits of it on the mailer, seen bits of it on the on my Instagram and stuff, and you know, people, and even at cons, you know, I'll have the pages and people can come and have a look at it. But when they've got it like in their hand and it's been reduced and it's just that crisp and it's all, you know, it's got that nice new comic smell, it's just like.
I mean, we've been hyping up the, we went on the hype train for quite a while for this comic.
Yeah.
So glad it's all like turned around. But then one of the good things is with comics, when you've got more than one creative, like the writer and the artist, I feel like it becomes more than the sum of its parts. Where I did mine on the Todd, I feel like your one really benefits from having two creatives input on the project.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you, Tony, did fire back and forth with it, didn't you?
Yeah, like, and a lot of it will be, you know, so Tony's script's sort of fantastic, you know, it's hilarious, very funny. And then, you know, I'll sort of mess about with the layouts, send them back, and he might sort of suggest, you know, this is what I was thinking of, and we might throw, you know, have a look at this film or this character, you know, for a kind of model, and then I'll sort of play around with it, and then, or I'll take something that he's written and I'll sort of put a little background joke in, or like, you know, the name of a shop or something, or just, you know, just sort of mess about visually with it. And it's, you know, I wouldn't have come up with that without the script and the skeleton to sort of build off of, you know, you know, similarly, you know, it wasn't there in the original, but you know, then it's weird in a kind of thing where the script was written, and I don't know who, you know, probably not with a specific artist in mind.
Yeah.
You know, but it was written, you know, to be touted and to be drawn. I've sort of taken it and put my spin on it, but then the sum of those, like you say, the sum of the parts is great. You know, whichever way around it is, you know.
You know what I mean.
You know, but we've now got this thing that's, I think it's like found its feet kind of visually,
definitely.
And you know,
yeah,
and I think the second one's going to be even better than the first, you know, blah blah. You know, I just think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
And it's fun to.
It's good when you got like, as well, having the partner when you're doing that stuff, you can bounce the ideas back and forth. Does this work?
Yeah,
I don't think it does.
Yeah.
And you can kind of like refine it a little more.
Yeah. I've started doing that with Slam Pictorial. I've been sending. So I sent out some stuff to Tony to look at, some stuff out to Sarah Harris, friend of the pod, to look at, you know, and others, you know, even Hassan, who does the strip panel Naked, he did a little editorial job for me, just went through some of my panels. Just getting someone's feedback on stuff that you do is great, because, you know, I'm probably like you, I do it all, you know, jack of all trades sort of thing. And part of that is because I'm a control freak and I don't want someone else telling me what to do. And like, and also, you know, that sort of artist thing of like, I'm my worst self-critic. You know, I know all the bits where I'm like, oh, I can't bear to look at that. You know, that was toilet. You know, I just, you know, cut corner here or, you
sometimes
know,
you got to let it slide, but
exactly,
yeah, sometimes
you,
it burns.
You know, that's what I like about comics is you can't be precious. You know, if you want to get it out, you want to get it on the table, you have to let it go at some point.
Yeah,
gotta go. But, and I was expecting the feedback from like an, you know, an objective outside view to be, you know, all the stuff that I would have gone, you know, this sucks.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's really, you know, constructive stuff about, you know, panel, you know, placing the word balloon or, you know, just flow. And it's just little things where you go, bing, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm tunnel vision trying to get stuff on the page, I forgot that, you know, it's just like, you know, it all never hurts to put your stuff out there.
Oh god,
get
stuff
shown, get, you know, ask for feedback.
Definitely feedback. I think if you're doing it in isolation, sometimes what can read fine to you might not be kind of interpreted that way to somewhere else. So definitely like run it past someone else.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when you was kind of researching Cockney Kung Fu, was there a couple of films that you went to that it's like,
Stimpy Rock Rock, yeah, China O'Brien's, yeah, and all that. Like, thought,
I'm
right,
going to... I'm rubbish with names, and I'm going to not remember her name, but basically, she was Margot Robbie's stunt double in Suicide Squad. She's blonde, American. She might be called Amy Johnson. I want to say Amy Johnson. And she did basically a film... It's probably called Lady Bloodsport or something. It's basically Bloodsport, but and it's all female fighters.
Okay.
And it's just fantastic. Just proper, got that sort of 90s vibe.
Yeah,
but,
nice.
You know, with...
ladies,
you know,
instead ladies, of Van Damme.
Yeah. And it's basically, you know, she goes to, like, you know, do this kumite, and it's great. And she's really good. I've seen a couple of her stuff. And I like, you know, she's got... same sort of build and same sort of style, very scrappy. So I like all that.
I'd have
stuff.
To track that down. That sounds just like my cup of tea.
And then there's what I've gone down a rabbit hole of kind of YouTube fight choreography videos. I don't know if you've seen these, where, like, you know, you have like the stunt teams and they will either put together like a little scene and they'll cut it like a movie, and it will be like a showcase for their, like, or the best ones I've seen where they'll take like a classic fight. And then they'll, so it's like Jackie Chan and Benny the Jet from Meals on Wheels.
Yeah, or Dragon's Forever.
Right, yeah. And it'll be like, take some, and they'll redo that fight scene, but, you know, it'll be like a female fighter and this and
nice
guy.
One.
And, you know, they do it shot for shot perfect and everything. And again, just, you know...
I'm going to have to track that down. That sounds great.
You know, all of that stuff, just to, you know, just to sort of get
then
ideas
sort of break it down and then, like, translate it to the page. Trying to get the kind of the motion and the energy of martial arts on page can be tricky.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think you do it with plomb. So, like,
thanks.
Hats off to you.
Yeah, I've been doing a bit of... And, you know, sort of Street Fighter manga as well, going back and looking at some of that stuff, just to, just grab influences, ideas where you can, just rob it all. That's,
rob it. Yeah. Well, cheers, Nick. Thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, lovely.
This is an interesting contraption. It's like Doctor Who.
It looks like a sort of stun gun or something, doesn't it?
Oh, God, yeah.
Are you just going to taser us?
Taser.
I taser myself and then you do yourself. It's great.
I got a story about a taser.
Oh, go on.
Well, that,
record it.
In the place I used to live, we used to get these packages arriving on our doorstep.
Oh, right.
It was for someone that used to live there. We're like, what are all these packages? And we're like, no, let's just leave them. And more were coming. And we're like, okay, let's open them. So... probably shouldn't be saying this, but somebody, somebody opened the packages, and in one of the packages was a camouflage headscarf, another one was a waterproof pad and pen, and then the next one was a taser.
Oh no.
Oh my God.
We were like, surely that's illegal.
Yeah,
and Matt,
I think,
said
it might be.
Matt said, if you shout taser, 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 it's okay.
Is your husband some kind of legal expert? Partner?
Yeah. Definitely not husband. No, get into trouble for that.
Just to introduce this, I'm here with Rachel Smith.
Hello.
And not Elizabeth Queerstreet, the arms dealer. That's not you, is it?
No, I'm definitely...
I've not seen her all day.
I'm safe. Hello.
How has the con been for you? Have you had fun or... Let's go that way. You had fun today?
Yeah. It's been...
You gave me that shock look. Oh, my God, he's asked me a question. And he was like, look.
I'm going to have to talk sensibly. It's been relaxed. I really liked it. When you arrived, you got a little package.
That was a little mug and everything, yeah.
And there was a little thank you card.
Aww.
And little instructions. That was quite sweet. Yeah. I liked how organised it was.
And you did a panel. You both did panels, didn't
you? Yes.
So what was yours? You did the writer's panel with me.
I did the writer's one, yeah.
Seems to go okay.
I heard myself say hello and then it was just blood pumping in my ears. So I don't know. I assume I made words.
Yeah,
so
I think we're quite
cool,
good.
Yeah.
Just
blacked out, yeah. But it was nice. We got some questions as well from the audience. So
what questions were they asking?
Can
you remember now?
Someone asked about using like structure and stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah, you all got a bit deep then.
Yeah, got deep. But yeah, and I'm apparently the only one that's a massive swot about like reading all the books about writing, so... That was kind of nice. I'm used to being the SWAT, though.
Yeah,
so
good.
It's good to be a SWAT.
I'm never the cool one.
Yeah. I'm the SWAT.
squat.
A squat.
I can squat. Yeah.
Hey. And she did it on audio and everything. Yeah. That was brilliant. Yeah. Was and you did a panel, didn't you, Elizabeth?
I did.
See you later, Tom. You did a panel, didn't you?
I did.
What was yours? Because I only made it to the end of your one. Okay. Did it go well?
Yeah, it was good. It was nice hearing from the other girls. It's awful. I can't remember their names.
Claire and Bronwyn. Bronwyn.
But their stuff sounded excellent. They're doing...
Bronwyn is a name. I'm not sure the other things you said are names.
The other one was just a noise. Yeah. They were doing... they were doing work on dogs. They had a collection
like the
of dogs.
Perfect combination.
And one of them is currently doing some work on pigeons, and I really like pigeons.
You draw a lot of pigeons.
You've noticed.
Yeah, I've noticed. Yeah, it's about you.
There is a lot of pigeons. So I was just really excited to listen to them.
I'm thinking maybe everyone who's a guest at this convention in the future can do a video of themselves rolling down a hill.
Oh, you've seen that. Yes. Have you seen...
I'm shaking my head, listeners.
So,
Elizabeth did a video. This is not Elizabeth, the arms dealer, it's somebody else. But the this person here did a video of you rolling down a hill, which I remember the first time I met you, I sent you a friend request on Twitter, and I thought, oh, I'll see what that video is, and it was you rolling down a hill. It's like the best video ever.
That's nice. So one day I was having cups of tea. I don't drink tea, so they were drinking tea.
Okay.
I was eating cake. This is a whole other story. I accidentally joined a reading group that I didn't want to be a part of, and I corrupted that. And then we just
ate. We're rolling down the hill, you getting away from the reading group, because that's amazing.
Not quite. Because we stopped talking about the books and we were eating cake and we were saying, wouldn't it be great if we could just eat cake every day? We said, you'd have to be able to afford that. So we were then saying, well, you need to be able to make money, and how can you quickly, easily make money? And we were sure people make money on YouTube.
Yeah,
and there must be people out there who made a lot of money, and all you've got to do is think of a unique idea. So we sat there brainstorming unique ideas. So they were doing, like, makeup ideas. And I said, no, that's been done.
Amateurs.
That's old news. I'm like, you need something fresh. And I said, oh, my God, we could start a movement. And it could really take off. So I'm going to do hill rolling, and I will like challenge myself to roll down different hills. And then before you know it, everyone will be hill rolling, and everyone's going to upload their hill rolling videos, and it will all come into me, and I'll be like a millionaire from hill rolling.
Lizzie Dares.
Yeah, exactly.
Done.
So, I love this idea. I love it.
So it sounded great, and we got excited, and we went to a big hill. And you have seen the video.
It's like on a loop. You can just let me leave it playing.
It is on YouTube still. I am still on YouTube rolling. And I have to say, it didn't go as well as I'd hoped. It's edited out, but I got stuck in some ditches.
Oh, right.
And I got really badly bruised.
You lift your art. That is the thing about you.
Yeah, that's a good description.
Have you ever done anything dangerous for art?
No, I don't think so. I've not opened a window when I've been using spray mount. That's probably about as daring as I get. Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. Right, so what other conventions have you got coming up, Elizabeth?
Oh.
Not Elizabeth.
Yeah, I'm not a murderer. I got through to Thought Bubble the other day, which was exciting news.
Sweet.
Have you?
Yeah, I'm doing that as well.
Yay. Uh-huh. Yeah. Very excited about that.
Yeah, it's a great show.
And at the minute, nothing else officially lined up. I'm really hoping when Bristol comes around, I can squeeze into Bristol because I loved that one.
Yeah.
That would be nice. Bristol people, please take me.
Do that safari one. Do either of you do that one?
I've not done that before. No. Avery Hill have, but I haven't done that.
It looks fun.
Yeah, it's okay. Nice middle of the summer.
Yeah, it's okay. Right. Whatever. what about you?
I'm doing Leamington.
Oh, you're doing Leamington?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing Leamington.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm doing Cardiff Sice.
Yes. I'm hoping you're going to be hooked for Sice because your panel was led by Iz, who runs Sice, isn't it?
Yeah.
She came back and said how brilliant you were. So.
Oh, that's kind. That's nice.
And yeah, Thought Bubble. I think that's all I've got on my plate at the moment.
Are they Nottingham again? Or?
Don't know. Don't know. Not looked into. I've
watched the space.
Yeah. My brain only works so far in the future.
I know.
I
was comparing you to myself. How's Vince been today? Has he been all right?
I've not seen him.
You quoted him in your panel as being talking about building a ship, and I thought that was really impressive.
Oh, no, that wasn't what he said.
That's what you said.
It's what I said, but I couldn't remember where it was
from. You're going to have to explain this.
So on the writing panel, we were talking about having someone who you show your writing to, and some people were saying, no, no, I don't do that, and I was saying, no, I have to do that. And there's this analogy I heard ages ago, and I can't remember where I got it from, which makes me feel bad, but it's writing, for me, is like building a ship, but from the inside, so I can't see the outside of the ship. So I need someone on the outside to say, no, Rachel, the mast is in the wrong place and you've done all this wrong and stuff.
I can see you making a whole comic scene all about that.
You'd be like a life coach. Extrapolate that to life.
That's a nice visual, though. You could
Dr. be Smith.
She solves it again.
Rachel and... Not Elizabeth, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Stop.
Okay, I'm here with Kevin Gerby, who's handing me the first issue of Hunter Gatherer. Can you tell us a bit about your comic, Kevin?
Yeah, of course. Hunter and Gatherer, it's like a superhero satire. Anybody who's maybe familiar with comic books like Justice League International by Keith Giffen maybe already knows what kind of style it is. It's lighthearted, it's funny. At least I hope it is.
Yeah.
There's no curse words, there's no ultra-violence, so you don't have to hide it from your parents. And it's nothing. It's about the two main characters, Cecilia Wagner. Think about Power Girl, Supergirl, you know, these strong female characters.
Mm.
And she's the hunter. And the gatherer is Simon Bradbury. He's like an ex-sidekick, an ex-disgruntled sidekick who left the superhero business. He's a bit edgy, he's a bit of a moron. But he's a good guy, and together they solve crimes, they have superhero shenanigans. It's what superheroes do in their downtime, mainly.
I was just taking a flick through. It's absolutely fantastic. It looks brilliant. It's a really,
it's very nice,
really great comic you put out there. So how do you meet up with Storpio, the artist?
It's a funny thing. We went to school together, and we never talked to each other. And I used to work with a lot of artists online, and it was always a horrible experience. You know, I used to send scripts. Mm. They wouldn't even read. They wouldn't read them properly. Things didn't work out really at all. And after a while, a friend of mine just told me, why don't you speak to Storpio Skills? Alessandro Paratore is his real name. Mm. Storpio Skills is his artist name. And we've been best friends since we met.
Nice.
And it's been working out very well. And I have to excuse myself. I'm very tired. It's been a long day here at the convention. So if there's a lot of ums...
That's totally fine.
Usually I'm a bit more sharp-minded. And
you were right at the end of the day. We're like 10 minutes before we're closing. So it's kind of...
Yeah, please excuse me.
Flagging.
I write better than I talk. So it's.
We're going to have to upload some of the pages for the listeners because it looks great.
That would be lovely. And to everybody who appreciates it, who has any interest in it, follow us on Facebook. We're going to start uploading small, like 2 or 3 page stories. So it's going to be our next upcoming project. It's called Gung Ho. It's for anybody who appreciates comics like, for instance, Tank Girl. The usual stuff, you know, the usual... Everybody's a child of the 90s, knows the old days of the extreme comics.
Yeah, Jimmy Hewitt and stuff like that.
Exactly,
yeah.
We're trying to bring them back. It's fun stuff, it's nothing upsetting. It's maybe not too politically correct. I think that inside the world of comic books nowadays, it's a bit of a bit of fresh air in comic books nowadays.
To be fair, our listeners love politically incorrect. So you're for the right audience there.
And like I said, I don't try to upset anyone. No. It's not like I try to offend on purpose.
Yeah.
It's just what I personally think it's funny.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure there's at least 2 or 3 other people in the world who are going to think it's funny too. So we're going to be friends afterwards. So have a look, check out for that.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. We're look forward to seeing more from you.
Thanks for listening. Yeah, thanks for asking. And hope to see you soon.
Yeah.
Okay, I am here with a new creator that I discovered today, Russell Mark Olson, and who is the creator of Gateway City, 3 issues of which I've just picked up.
Yeah,
I'm thoroughly looking forward to checking it out. So you told me a bit about it before, but now I've got you with a mic in your in your face. Tell us a bit about Gateway City.
Okay, so Gateway City, it takes place in St. Louis, Missouri during the 1920s. So during the Prohibition period, there was all sorts of gang wars that were going on there. So it starts out kind of with a more realistic bent. But then by the kind of like the latter half of the first issue, we kind of understand something else is going on in the city than just gangs fighting each other for sort of supply of the bourbon and the booze. Aliens.
We have just been interrupted by the convention actually ending. This is dramatic.
I think they're really enjoying what I'm saying.
They love what you're saying. I'm into it.
People really want to know.
Yeah. They love it.
Isn't it sweet of them?
Let's just keep this going.
I'll come back next year, I think.
Anyway, as you were saying.
So it's aliens start invading, and we don't quite know why. So it's sort of, from there, it becomes kind of Dick Tracy meets Alien Invasion. But
elevator pitch, that's a win anyway, isn't it? I think,
Who doesn't want it, you know? I mean, Chester Gould got there, kind of like, you know, Prune Face was about the as far as he could go, and they thought, no, I can't go any further. Yeah. I go further.
Oh,
yeah,
awesome.
Exactly.
Awesome.
It's that kind of that contrived like ragtag team of people have to come together to save the world.
But if you lean into those sort of story tropes and do it, wear your heart on your sleeve, and it just works, isn't it? There's a reason that works, isn't it? And you've got a fresh new take. So how did this, you know, certainly in the independent scene, you don't see so many 1920s prohibition sort of era sort of comics, which, I mean, I love. I mean, certain books like The Damned, like Cullen Bunn's The Damned and stuff like that, and they're always great. But I always think that must be an awful lot of work because with history comics, as it were, I know you've got Aliens, there's a lot of detail and stuff. Yeah. How much research and detail did you go into before you even picked up a pencil?
Yeah, a lot. A lot. Probably more than I need to do. But I like that. I enjoy part of that. So there's some really good resources. There was a book that was just published not too long ago. I think it was called The City Streets or Streets of St. Louis or something like that. But it's just they found a couple different people's collections of who were avid photographers from 1900 to, I think, about 1935. And it's just a sort of coffee-sized table book that's just filled with photographs of downtown St. Louis during that period. Unfortunately, they didn't publish that until a couple months ago. So I'd already done most of this. So this is actually just going through. And fortunately, my grandma is a librarian and a historian. So I've sort of tapped into quite a bit of her knowledge of picking out things and finding images.
Yeah.
And then it's just, you know, it's finding like a... The Missouri Historical Society has like tons of... Yeah. This is really boring talking about...
You have to be... There's accuracy. People could pick up on it, couldn't they?
I think so. And if you... There are those pedants, and I mean that in the nicest possible way, who...
I wouldn't.
But like, you know, they're very into their sort of period pieces. You see it all the time. Like, if you read the Radio Times of somebody saying, I noticed that in Downton Abbey they said shucks when they wouldn't have. Yeah. And, you know, it can ruin the illusion, I suppose. Yeah. So I've tried to kind of stick as close. I've done like the Harvey Kurtzman style, like do all the research and then you can forget about things if you need to. Do the research first and then you can pick and choose what you need to put in there.
Yeah.
So that's the approach I've gone. Yeah. So before I write an issue, like I check all the different sort of 1920s slang dictionaries that are out there and try and pepper it without being too overt and being too like...
You've got three issues in at the moment. What is it? A mini? Is it going to be five issues? Is it?
The first story arc is four issues.
Yeah.
So I just finished the fourth one yesterday.
Oh, amazing.
So I'll be sending that to Richard Comic Printing in a couple of weeks, and then I'll have the fourth one ready. And then probably I'm going to take a little bit of a break. I'm working with Cult Empire on a book.
Oh, nice.
So we're going to be putting the first issue of that one out in April. And then another one in July. And then I will pick up a new story arc for Gateway City after that.
So for those people that want to find out more about this, where can they get it online? Is it
available? Yeah, it's available online. It's available on my I sell it through Etsy. It's also in a few comic shops down here in the South. But if they follow me on Twitter at Russell_M_Olson, then you can find links to that. Or my Facebook page. So if you just type in Facebook, Russell Mark Olson, it should come up with my illustration comics page.
It's good to know that a fourth issue is imminent.
Expect
to purchase again.
So nice. Excellent. Cheers.
Yes. Thank you very much, dude.
Yeah. Enjoy the rest of the con.
Yeah, as we pack up.
Yeah. Cheers.
See you, dude.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. The boy's done good. Ooh.
There's quite a few there.
Yeah, there's quite a few. I mean, even Tony, who was busy all day, he was literally all over the show.
Oh, I really missed being at the table with you guys. I love doing these panels, and there's some really interesting stuff came out of them, and thanks to Stuart for letting me do them. But I do miss being at the table with you guys, because it didn't seem like, because we're so busy, it didn't seem like we had a chance to just sit behind the table and take the piss out of people like we normally do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It was certainly, it's the busiest convention that I've done. I'm not talking about like the sales of my comic or whatever. I mean, obviously we did really well and we're really pleased with it. But obviously we were doing the interviews and we were talking to people. So many wonderful people came up and you know, were just
literally
really nice.
Was not a point where we weren't talking to someone. I'm going to say that there wasn't actually a point where no one was at the table. You know?
Yeah. And that's why we've all our voices are a little bit smokier today than they would be.
But, and there was a lot of talking out after lights out, wasn't there, as well? So.
yeah. Apparently I giggle in my sleep, and so does Tony.
I can't believe that I did it as well.
Yeah.
The best thing is we're watching movies, and Dan's in the other room in the hotel, and obviously he feels a bit left out, so he's texting us.
Yeah.
We'd only just say goodbye in the bar.
Yeah.
I had to let them know there was a Seagal film on ITV4.
Yeah.
Can't let that go.
And then we couldn't get the channel to work, so we were gutted, and then all of a sudden we found an old Dolph Lundgren film.
So we watched that. It's quite good.
Yeah.
That's the time slot, is it? That people come, blokes coming in from the pub.
Yeah.
And it's like, watching action, 80s, 90s action films.
Yeah. There wasn't that much action in it, Dan, to be fair. Yeah. Speaking of Dolph Lundgren, though, before we get in the next bit of audio, I've noticed that if you've got Amazon Prime, they have just added The Punisher.
Have they?
The Dolph Lundgren. Oh, nice. I've not seen that for probably about 15 years.
I quite like that one, as we said.
When was the last time you watched it, Dan?
Probably about 2 months ago.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
It's on YouTube.
Ah, right.
Okay.
I've got a DVD of it, but it's sealed. I had the VHS. I know that Orbital have either just about to or just put on a showing of it at the Genesis Cinema in the East End.
Ah,
amazing.
Nice.
Amazing. Yeah. Brilliant. There you go. What we're saying here is watch Dolph Lundgren as a Punisher and get back to us.
I want to watch Dark Angel now after we watched that movie. I want to watch that.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's another great one.
Yeah. So we're going to go off and talk about Dolph Lundgren movies. And while we're doing that and having a fun old time, we've got another bit of audio for you. Yes, it's the panel, which worked and we had fun with.
Our special guest.
It was called the Awesome Comics Pod. Cast live. There's kind of a structure, but
so we get the sense we got to talk about what we're going to do on our
all
panel,
day. We said
all
that.
Fucking day, and then
and we literally did it as we walked up the stairs to the panel.
Yeah.
I turned to them and said, "Right, I think we should do this," and they were,
"Yeah." I was in no mood to argue, nor did I have any ideas, so that was fine.
Yeah. We had.
I'll tell you what, though, it got to the point where I was sat in the panel. And I'd already done two panels, and we had literally been larking about for about 24 hours at that point.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'm knackered. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm wiped out. Yeah.
Yeah. But trust me, it still came out well.
Oh, excellent. Doing the big sell on this.
Yeah.
But to be fair, if you're this far into the show, you're not going to turn off now.
Yeah, no. And like, if you're a weekly listener, you already have low expectations of us.
It was sexually.
There was a young lady that came up to the table and she picked up a leaflet and I started talking to her. She said, no, I listened to the show. I really like it. And I was just trying to sort of get my mum give it a listen. And I was like, okay. So if you're listening, I hope you enjoy and we don't offend you too much.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, mum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good to have you.
Yeah. Well, actually, welcome to any new listener, because a few people picked up flyers. So,
got a little bump in downloads, I noticed, this morning as well.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah,
that's quite good. Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, if that's the case, on the last episode.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
I tell you what that was, because we all met in the pub last night, didn't we? That was the subject of the conversation straight away, was, you all right, Vince?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. thank you to everyone for all your sympathy. And like and support. I mean, it's first world problems of the highest order. I just we lost a bit of audio and I threw my toys out the pram, and then Tony had to sit with me for 10 minutes after and just being depressed.
Your hair.
Yeah. Yeah, just combing my hair, going, it's okay, it's okay, yeah, babe. It's
the boy okay. will love you again.
Yeah,
make another boy.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah, thank you. I'm over it now. This is the beauty of a good convention experience, because it just, you know, that feels like so long ago.
It does. Yeah. That's the thing with our shows. Every week, it seems like ages ago we did the last one.
Yeah.
I think it's because I look forward to them so much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you don't need to ask if I'm okay. I'm okay. It's fine.
He's over it.
He got
to spend the night with me, and that everyone, that'll, he got these minds on other things, other more discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah, trust me. One unforgettable night. Oh, don't. Anyway. Right, we're going to go off and watch Dolph Lundgren movies. So while we're doing that, here is the panel from True Believers, which is what are we going to call this? Is it just the Awesome Comics Podcast Live?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that every live experience is going to be like this.
But we're doing one at Leamington now as well, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be good.
So there you go. And yeah, look forward to the audience participation as well, which is one of my highlights of my year so far.
It is, yeah. It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So here you go, folks. Here's the panel for you. Enjoy.
I don't want to do it. Anyway, hello, True Believers 2018.
Hello, Vince!
Already. Yeah. Already, it's gone horribly, horribly wrong, but that wouldn't be the awesome...
For the 40 show.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, and I think everyone here has listened to the show, we are the Awesome Comics Podcast. I'm Vince Hunt, creator of The Red Mask of Mars, and joining me is the creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
Yes. Yes. Some corners.
That one word intro.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. He's been called an animal, a vegetable, and a mineral. It's Tony Edmund.
Watching you talk, because I don't normally see you, do I?
Is the sexiest thing.
No, it's
thing.
Really weird. Slightly aroused, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all I get that.
And speaking of arousing, we have an unofficial new member of the Awesome Comics Podcast.
Aye, aye.
as you can tell, he's just like us. You'll know him as the artist of Porcelain and Batgirl, amongst other things. You've got many irons in the fire, haven't you, young man? But it's Christian Wildgoose.
Yay.
Yeah. Yeah. It hasn't gone unnoticed that you were the only one that got a round of applause.
I expected that.
But it's coming to the end. It's been a long day. It's coming to the end of the convention day. So we thought we'd have a quick chat about conventions in general. I'm not used to looking at an audience, so if you see me just looking at the table like a lunatic, that's why.
Imagine just naked.
Always. That's the reason I don't have the video. Yeah, I don't have the video on when we do the normal show, just in case. But how do we feel about today? Are we all tired? It's coming to the end of the convention day, and I think... Like a convention day fatigue doesn't get spoken about enough because I am knackered. What were you, Dan? You look like you're hanging out of your ass.
Yeah, really. I'm dying. Essentially, we do is sitting there talking all day, but fuck me, it's difficult.
Well, you had a room on your own last night. Me and I just sleep in the same room as it.
Not here. Not
we
like
lost
this.
The bed.
No,
I had the kid's bed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you lost the toss of the coin.
Well, nicely put.
He didn't need it for his knees, Christian.
That's what I thought.
Every time I turned the light out, you just talked. And I said, no, lights out, no talking. In the middle of the night, you did a stand-up wee that woke me up.
Look.
Did you point out the child bed was great height for kneeling?
Look. All day. I've had this all day. And Dad, don't give me that now.
I've been witness to
because you've been saying I've witnessed. Everyone's been picking on you all day. And you just bundled on.
I didn't say I had a problem with it. I've witnessed it all day.
No, but it's been a good day. Obviously, it's been a nice day for us launching a comic and stuff. But, yeah. Yeah, Christian, you've been doing all right, haven't you? I've seen you sketching away.
Yeah.
Yeah. You did the jam, well, is it a jam piece, that A3 that went around?
Yeah, it's a charity. Yeah. I forget the name of the charity, though.
It's all good for a good cause, isn't it?
Yeah. What are you drawing it?
Have they already sold it off?
Yeah, it's quality.
Have they raffled it? Do we know?
Getting raffled. No. Oh, I thought they didn't.
Because me and Dan got it
after you had done it.
Yeah.
And
Christ.
There's nothing more. There's nothing more intimidating than seeing a like another great artist.
I don't
feel like it went well there. Like, it was just, like I've been sketching in books all this morning. I feel like I'm too tired to draw faces properly today. So everyone's got giant chins, big noses, and stuff like that. So
you could do Judge Dredd.
Yeah, but I was drawing a child.
I was relaying my woes to Christian last night, saying, "Oh, fucking, I've got to do this jam piece." Like, it feels like the weight of the world. He goes, "No, you'll be fine." So when it comes around, I'm in an iron. He went, "Damn, just man up and do it," and I did. It was all right.
Yeah, it's quite aggressive, really.
That's on that message.
Yeah. He's like, he's crying right now. He's like, "Just tell him to man up and get on."
Do it.
Yeah. See, when you said it, that was a lot nice and soft. Just tell him to man up. He said it like, "Just told me to man up."
Yeah. How do you tell someone to man up nicely? It's kind of,
Man up, Dan. Come on, man up, Dan. Man up. but no, this is the first convention of the convention season. It is the proper official one. I think it's all the kickoff, isn't it? So, and there is quite a few. It's been an interesting few years for conventions. Like some have gone well, some have gone not so well. I know Thought Bubble obviously came back with a vengeance with new venues, whereas other ones, such as, we can say it, London Super Comic Con wasn't.
No.
You know, we had a great weekend, but it didn't do so well. I don't know if I picked that up, but it is very interesting. True Believers is always one that's a good time and like laid out well, and I've had a great day. But looking forward to the year ahead, what do you think like convention season is going to be like this year? Are you enthusiastic about it, or are you concerned anyway? I'm not saying pick out any concerns, like any particular events, but is it going to be, are we going to be going up, or are we going to be going down?
I think it's going up. I think people, like especially small press people, seem more enthused than ever. Like people just want to do their stories and get good books.
You see more as well, and they're fresher. Like,
people are like, I think with everyone's got like access to better, like, you know, everyone's got access to Photoshop. Everyone, like,
apart from me,
just
thank God,
MS Paint down there. But you know, like, everyone just can easily hit a good quality standard these days. You know, rather than just like a black and white ash can that is like just done in pen and ink, people can finish it off and send it. You can get hold of good cheap printers these days that will just put your book out and do a good job. And I think everyone's seen that, and then they want to do their stories and doing well. So.
Yeah. Do you think there's more pressure on quality though because of that? We've got more access than ever before to things that should make your comic the best it could possibly be when it comes out.
I don't know about pressure. I think people just pressure themselves to just get stuff done. Better.
Man up, Dan.
Well, I'd say the expectation is that the quality has got to get to that certain level. Everyone expects it nowadays, so when it isn't, that maybe would stick out over the ones that are not so professionally put together. But you look out there on the floor, and the titles out there are absolutely amazing. That one we saw, the Battle Badgers.
Battle Badgers looks really good, and we never seen that before.
He's actually been at Cheltenham for the past 2 years. I think I've had tunnel vision because I just... Do you ever have that as well at conventions, where you're walking around like... And you can't see to the left or right
all the time.
And then
you're not good at
you
won't speak to you. Well,
that's a lie. I'll speak to you. I just want to let you all know that we've been signing some of our comics today, and 90% of the books that have been signed, he's put, and this is Tony Esmond, has put "I hate Vince."
No, that's not true. 50% I wrote that, and the others wrote "I like boobs."
Oh, yes. Yeah. So
I'm going to jump in here and say I think the convention season is slowing down in the UK. I think 2 years ago we saw a lot of new conventions. Well, we've lost at least two big ones. So we've lost London Super Comic Con. That ain't coming back this year. There's some people in the know in the audience. I'm going to say no. And MailChimp's disappeared as well.
Yeah.
I think we are looking at... I mean, last year also we had the 40th anniversary for 2000 AD, which is a big, big event for us. I think the spaces between conventions is bigger now.
Yes.
I'm going to say.
I mean, we've planned the release of our comic like quarterly, and it seems like there's a convention at every point.
And that would have been easy. Just almost every other weekend there was a convention, if not every weekend at one point last year, maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to say it's less.
And I think when we say that we mean conventions in the sort of comic from conventions that everyone in this room loves, you know, actual comics.
Yeah.
Because you see a lot of Comic-Con.
You see a drop off of those ones that like have Wedge's left finger from X-Wing, Star Wars.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah. But I don't usually see a lot of them on Facebook, and I don't see too much of them anymore.
Yeah.
Maybe that kind of boat's sailed.
Yeah.
Well, I used to see a lot of them on Facebook until I got a couple of legal proceedings against me for criticising them, so I don't quite see as many. But the I think there's less this year.
Yeah,
I think there is.
Yeah.
But do you think, how do you think that will affect the comic buying public? Because no matter what you say, like these events that have like celebrities and stuff, there may be people here that go to those that may buy a comic that wouldn't have before.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, I think it's
I think it's easy to be pessimistic about it, isn't it? But
I think we're also seeing stuff like Sequential gaining some ground.
Yeah,
are you on Sequential? Is that the one you're thinking going on? No, you want digital? Are you on?
Where are the improper books in terms of digital?
This is the point where my editor Matt goes, "You got all of those facts wrong."
Yeah. I think the last time I gave you numbers wrong, and he paused.
We're recording on his shit Samsung, so there's no chance it's going to come out.
Matt will find a way to.
Said. I mean, we've got Sequential's definitely on the ups. It's got the Dark Horse on there as well now, and Comic House as well for our little world.
Yeah,
is definitely gaining some ground and becoming popular, and we are hopeful that will continue.
Yeah,
and I think maybe people are discovering that way a bit more. I don't know. Certainly more than 3 or 4 years ago, I think.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I think, do you think we need to have more of the free events?
Yeah.
And I mean, and I've said this on the show a couple of times, that some of the best show things I've been to have been like, they're in a comic book store, and, you know, people that have never heard of your comic are picking up a comic. They're coming in, they haven't had to pay a ticket price to go in, and they can just go in and wander in. I think there was a Swindon comic one. Yeah, well done, Sarah. And then, like, there is the sort of comic book day in Froome where you have, like, you know, a few back issue sellers and craft fairs, but there was also small press tables and people were wandering around and bring their families and, you know, the parents that go, oh, my kids would love this, and then buy a book. And that sales that is not to a comic book crowd. That is, you know.
Well, it's small press day the third time it's run this year. I can't remember.
Third or fourth, isn't it? It's July the 7th.
I'm hoping it's going to gain ground. I'm not hearing as much this time as I heard this time last year about Small Press Day.
Yeah.
But we've got some plans, so we're hoping it's going to gain ground.
Yeah, I hope that comes to fruition.
Yeah.
We've always got plans.
We've got
plans for you, Chris.
Apart from this panel.
No, you did.
Yeah. Completely unplanned. This is basically the ACP unplanned, isn't it? It's like unplugged.
Yeah.
I'll probably don't unplug it.
What?
Undressed. Yeah. Yeah, thank God.
Don't look at me, I'm in pyjamas.
What? This is gonna happen. It happens on the actual show that he throws off. But in terms of going to convention, obviously, like Chris, you're with Batgirl and you're how has your convention experience changed?
Yeah.
Now that instead of like you're there with all the improper guys and you know you've got Batgirl on your CV, etc. How many limos do you ask for?
One for my clothes and one for me.
Oh, so what a legend.
Naked. Yeah. It's slightly different. I've had more people come over to me say, I really like doing proper stuff and it's so good to see you do mainstream stuff.
Mm.
And I think the main thing that's changed is I've had people come over with like stacks Batgirl stuff to sign, and I'm just signing that, and I can't, like, if anyone's ever bought a book from me, you know that I like to sketch in the improper book stuff, but I can't do that in the Batgirl stuff because
there's ads and
and there's no you can't really, unless you sketch in a like a Sharpie pen, you can't really get a sketch on the front of them or whatever. So that's like odd. I don't really like just signing books and then just handing them over because I feel like that's a bit of like a.
You just want to draw all the time, don't you?
But your trade's out now. The Batgirl trade's out. It's been out a couple of months now. Is there any room in that?
I've not done conventions when
since then. Because it was since New York. It came out just after New York, didn't it?
Yeah, just after. Yeah, like just before Christmas or something.
Yeah,
And New York was a bit because that's the first time I've done a US convention.
Do you have the audience jumped over from Batgirl onto the improper stuff?
yeah.
come backwards. So they yeah. brought you back, girl, and come back and...
Yeah, yeah. But so far, it's more like the US people have found my stuff now, but they can't get hold of the Infobook yeah. stuff, so, which is hopefully something we're aiming to, like, change if we, like, because I think the aim is we might try and approach a publisher, like, that deals with US and UK stuff. Mm. But, yeah, I don't know, it's like, it's not been a massive difference since doing Batgirl. Like,
okay.
I'm not, like...
Oh, you're such a liar. I was in New York with you, and I literally couldn't get to the table because people were queuing up to speak to you, including podcasters.
As I was saying today, though, I think more people queue up my table because they're waiting for me to finish the sketch that I was probably about half an hour ago. I haven't noticed a big difference, but I'd still people come over and go, oh, you draw a Batgirl. I didn't know you draw a Batgirl. So, yeah.
I suppose, from your sort of viewpoint as well, as an artist, you're just putting your head down and doing the work, aren't you? So a lot of people who, like, in the independent or small press, they probably think, right, as soon as DC comes calling or something, that's it. Your lifestyle and everything, sort of, you know, the artwork regime changes, but it doesn't, does it, really? You just thought, oh, God, I've got different deadlines.
being a mate of yours, I know it changed because you never left your house once you got back.
Yeah, that was...
Yeah. I saw you once and your skin was so translucent. You got paler. Yeah.
Got thin around the arms.
The Batgirl died.
Yeah. No, nothing.
You're still a down-to-earth guy.
And I think it's fair you've let us... you've let us announce your next project is going to be, am I all right to say it, Lobo the Duck. Is that going to be the next...
I can confirm this.
just knowing you, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
Bleeding cool? Yeah. Good. Yeah.
Has your convention schedule sort of increased? Because...
I've tried to not do as many this year.
Yeah.
Is that because... slowly signing up to more and more. But I don't know, because I'm trying to keep the second half of the year free, because our French publishers have asked us to go out there, or they might have us over there next, like, this year. But I don't, it's nothing to confirm. But I just, like, I like doing conventions, but I'm so slow at work already. I prefer to, like, not do too many because I don't want to...
If you are a convention organiser and you want to get Christian on, just guilt him into doing it.
That does work. I haven't taken on more because of it. I probably should do more because I probably make more money, but I'm just not fast enough to do, in my own work, to do take the time away to do conventions because it's...
I think most of the people in this room have some of Christian's artwork in some shape or form, so they know that you don't do things by halves, do you?
No.
Sometimes I weep for you when I look at a page.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I weep for myself.
Man up, babes. tell me then, what do you guys feel like is the future for independent comic conventions and stuff like that?
We talked about this for two reasons last year, mainly. Was one was Sarah's event at Swindon, which was so well attended. It was held in a comic shop on the day, Saturday, when everyone comes in to get their comics. You know, and there is a defining line between a lot of people who turn up conventions like this and the Wednesday Warriors, or the people who go in a comic shop once a week and buy their comics. And there is a real delineation between the two at the moment. And I think to join the two up can only be good for both sides, and especially for the sales of small press. And the second one, which was Wimbledon, Rick's not here, it was him trying to be. We did Wimbledon, which is a library event. I've done Lancaster, which does the same every year. And it's a library event, and it's free. The library put it on. The mayor came and opened it. Do you remember? It was quite awesome. A strange event.
Yeah.
And then you did a walk one side of the convention to the other.
Yeah, that's good.
One great. This could be
a bit of swagging.
Yeah, that was quite sexy. And I think that we got really good feedback. We all made reasonable amounts of money, but we didn't have to spend any money on the tables, and I think that was a really good little event. I think going to grassroots with it.
Yeah, having the place open, you can kind of just go in, and there's no owner. You're in there free, so as you just look at the books and buy what you want to get. Whereas I feel like, I know with the bigger cons, you're paying to get in because you're getting a lot of extra stuff. But just with the no owners, you go in there and you can buy books if you want because there's no door fee. Mm. I think that's a great way to do it.
Mm.
But.
Do you, here's a devil's advocate question for you. Do you think independent creators' expectations are too high when it comes to having a table at a comic convention? Because it's quite easy for people to sort of say, oh, I didn't do well at this event, blah, blah, blah. But the convention organisers do their job and get people through the door. There's only so much they can do.
Yeah.
So do you think, you know, even though the independent comic scene is probably bigger than ever at the moment, we've got a show based on it, so, but do you think people are expecting too much?
I think
smaller shows.
People who run the conventions like this, Sire Snowden's in the audience, and Leamington, and stuff like that, work really hard. They're like one-man-person shows to get people in.
Mm.
And then I think people are prone to a little bit of complaining sometimes, aren't they? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard if you kind of hang your hat on your success being of how many of your comics you sold. I feel that can be a real kind of damner, because if you only sell five, and that could be through no other reason than chance, and you're kind of like you're doing yourself down because of that. I think about you guys, I do it more of a kind of a fun thing to do. I don't kind of like want to sell comics to bolster my income or whatever. That's a nice side bit, but if I don't sell the books, it's like, okay, that's fine. I like people to read the books, obviously.
But. Like when I have a table, like say I have to book a hotel, I don't factor in I have to sell enough books to make up the hotel cost. The hotel, because I don't drink that much, apart from last night.
Two pints, you know.
Yeah, that was enough.
You had a heavy night to get through, though, didn't you?
Yeah. Not here. Wait. Not like this. No, but I don't, you know, whereas a lot of people, they go out clubbing or they do this and do that. You know, this is the hobby. This is where the money goes, you know, this. So I don't count hotels. I think some people are a little too monetary when it comes to that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Some people, we hear a bit of bleating, don't we? Some people are very positive. I've got, I like that. But yeah, some people are.
Yeah.
We can't all be with the wild goose, rich and famous of the world.
You're glad you came to this
rich
panel.
Rich and richer than the end.
Rich and rich.
You'd not think that if you saw my bank account.
I mean, if you wanted to hear complaining, London Super Comic Con last year, that was the place
class
to be.
Yeah.
That was going down big style.
Yeah. But we will say, we had a great weekend.
Yeah, it was great.
Not sales-wise.
We went out for a pizza with Chris Weston, and Chris Weston went to Lou, and he's going, we're out for a pizza with Chris Weston.
And that's, I think, you know, I didn't think I'd be making comics and, like, meeting creators and getting to know people I mean, you've worked on a DC comic. When I was a kid, I didn't think I'd ever meet anyone that worked on it.
Me neither, to be honest.
Yeah. It's crazy. All you got to do is just put your art or your project or whatever, just put it out there and just be sort of a nice person.
And be amazing at drawing.
That helps. And then, like, I don't know, it's because the community is so small, it's so it can happen so quickly that you end up just meeting people or being at events. Like, we went to see 2000 AD. I never in my life thought I'd be there for a 2000 AD event.
Yeah, it's good, wasn't it?
Right? I like Road Tripper.
Yeah, and then we went for a meal afterwards, and you pitched Pat Mills your story.
I did not do this. You pitched it at him, and I had to watch his face.
Yeah. I thought Vince and his cat army solving crimes was quite a good little story.
But Lisa Mills, Pat's wife, was there, and their two friends they brought from abroad to come over to them, and it was a fucking horrific moment describing it, just falling flat. The story.
We thought it was funny.
Yeah. Sometimes life just happens to me.
It's funny when hindsight.
But then we get to do things like this and see you lovely people. Yes. And we appreciate it. For everyone that was here, you can have a free badge and some chocolate. Because we would buy you a bit.
I was wondering about that chocolate. Is that for anyone?
Yeah. What do you want?
Don't give me a shit one.
Let me pick.
What do you think he's going to have?
Fudge bar.
I knew you were a fudge man.
Is there a finger of fudge in there?
Of course there is.
There is?
What a knuckle of fudge.
Yeah. As you can tell, when the Awesome Comics Pod do a panel, it gets to the point where the most interesting thing is, what chocolate is he going to pick out of the box?
Yeah. Well, I'm a celebrity now, so everyone wants to know where he is.
No, but how much time have we got? Do you want to...
Do
you want to ask anyone?
Yeah, does anyone want to ask us a question? I'm so anyone? Scared.
Oh,
yeah.
Any truth to the rumour that Vince has taken up yoga?
A lot of truth.
I confirm he has. I have.
He began the Peachstone trilogy last
night. Yes, I have. And in a quite frankly self-destructive moment, divulged.
I don't know where you did it. There was Tony sitting next to you looking at you like,
because it's a
the
big
present
thing.
Unfolding in front
do
of
you. Do you know what I mean?
I for about 10, 15 minutes, I just getting into I'm yoga.
And the weird thing was, the table really listened.
Yeah.
They were, yeah.
Do we listen
yeah.
to
you? Hey? Yeah. No, you're not getting a demonstration.
Yeah. Right.
Oh,
I have never heard that before.
Every time there is something filth.
Yeah, but yes, yeah. To answer your question, yes, I have. That's all I'm going to say about that. Fake news. Yeah. Anyone else?
Oh,
here we go.
I won't then.
No.
If you've had a chance to get around this convention, have you seen any new comics or anything you've kind of like thought, are looking forward to that, or something you think has got a lot of potential?
I mean, we previously mentioned it, the Battle Badgers. I cannot believe that I did not have that in my life. Because I sat down and spoke to Steve Sims, and we got some audio with him, so I sat down and talked to him. And I said, well, have you been here before? And he said, yeah, the past couple of years. And how did I not see it? Because when you look at that comic and you look at everything, this is a finished product. This is a guy that could, you know, work. I mean, he works on Beast Quest.
Have you ever heard of that one?
Is that an ex-hamster?
Yeah, anyway, there probably is. Yeah, and now he's doing Battle Badgers. It's got two words before it, hasn't it? Something battling, Battle Badgers. It's a mouthful. But it's about badgers fighting trolls, and I bought all three issues of print and a badge, which I thought was a great play on words.
Sucker.
Yeah. I know, but that's the thing, like going to a convention and then you see something that catches your eye, that is always one of the, there's a couple of things that I think are the high points of like doing comics or just being involved in comics. There's getting the first print run of a comic that you have, there is nothing quite like that high.
Yeah, we were excited this week. Yeah. We're looking...
And discovering a fantastic new comic, meeting the person, and they're really nice, and that's it. Then all of a sudden you're a fan for life.
Yeah.
And then you'll just buy everything that person does.
I'm going to say The Mind of James Svengal by Lyndon White. I backed the Kickstarter, collected it today. Has anyone seen Lyndon's art? Very sort of brushy,
great stuff. Yeah.
Gorgeous art, painterly sort of stuff, really nice. And the other thing I'm going to say, is because he's sitting in front of me, staring at me, is the headlocker print from Mr. Four.
Yes.
What a legend.
Yes. Oh, that's a legend. Yeah.
That's being eBayed later.
Sorry?
Why'd you touch it? Pay for it.
Story of my life.
That's going on there, my friend.
I picked up Sam Webster's Sometimes I Just Want to Kill You All.
Nice.
So he said that's table £2.
I've noticed that one's called Bus Journey, so is there going to be a line of them?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
I like to refer to that as Sam's coming of age, and he won't mind me saying this because I say it to him, but he's really sort of found something by just being angry a lot.
Yeah.
I quite liked, you know. And he's drawn you in it as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, all three of us are in it.
Yeah.
And Sarah Harris. Yeah, Sarah Harris.
Yeah, and Sarah's in it, yeah.
We're such a small community, we're just out drawing each other in each other's comics. Yeah.
And Little Heroes, pick up Little Heroes.
Yes.
Pick up Little Heroes.
Little Heroes Anthology.
That's very good. Who's in it?
If you haven't picked up the True Believers Anthology as well.
Yeah.
I haven't seen
the table where it's at, but I know that's really good. I'm not apart from my four pages, but the rest of it is really good. And that's for charity, isn't it? True Believers in charity. Yeah.
And I did a story in the Little Heroes with old Lollipop Head over there.
Yeah.
Susie Gander.
See, if this audio actually picks up, everyone in this room, I think, will agree with me that we've missed you, Susie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Susie.
Yeah, she got a round of applause
there.
Round
of applause there.
Yeah. That's all we got. He got a round of applause. Christian got a round of applause, but no one cared about us. Yeah, okay. We're chopped liver. We're audio chopped liver. Well, we are. But we love you all, and thank you very much for joining us this. Now, I want a bit of audience participation here, because whenever I sign off the show, I say the word stay. You've got another question. You've had one.
Go on then.
Go for it.
It's to Chris Wildby.
Oh, that's me. Here we go. Look at him. He loves it.
Are you married? No, it's
not. Yeah. Yeah. No, no, no.
So, as an indie creator, like one of the things we all kind of aspire to do is work for either a big two comic or even just like a big kind of publishers.
Mm.
Is it, because obviously in your mind's eye you think, oh, I'm getting something to help you do the colouring, something to help you do the lettering and so on, and keep you on time, it's like a dream come true. Is it, what's it actually like working like with a kind of big publisher? Is it, like, what's the kind of stress levels and how's it all kind of work?
It's really good. I mean, I didn't find it any different to working with my usual team on Improper Books, because we have like that same sort of system. And we're pretty thorough with how we... I was going to say anal, but I knew Tony was going to pick that up.
Sausage factory.
We're, on Improper, we kind of do everything and back and forth with everyone. Like, you know, like the colourers will come back to us and we'll go, yeah, that's great, I'll tweak this and that. But the Batgirl was a bit more, like, it was the same, but it was slightly more hands off because there's the deadline and you have to hit it. It's just kind of sometimes it did get to the point where I just sent stuff off and didn't see anything of it until it came back in print. So, which is quite like, I don't know if you draw your own stuff, but it's like handing over half your work to somebody else and then waiting. It's pretty.
Yeah.
I don't like doing that. I wouldn't do it again if I had.
Is that the first
choice.
Time you used Ninker? Is it?
Yeah. I didn't really get along with that too well. The guy was great, and he did a great job, but I think I don't do a house style. So asking an artist who's used to just doing, you know, like a house style of DC, and then asking him to do my stuff, but a really tight deadline as well, is just, it's quite a lot to ask, really. Mm. So, we all kind of suffered a little bit from deadlines were too short, and I just... like struggled to keep up. We always hit the deadline on the whole, but everyone was working up till like the final moment, and so yeah, it was quite a bit more intense, because usually with Improper we kind of, if we don't hit a deadline, it's kind of like, that's disappointing, but you know, we'd rather get a good book out, whereas the Batgirl one, it's like you know whenever it's handed in it just gets sent off straight away, and there might be somebody else who fixes it down the line or something like that. So yeah, it was. Yeah, so in some ways it was different, in some ways it wasn't, but it was quite close though, so I was always in contact with the colourist and the inker, but when it got tight, it was just like nobody talked to each other. It was just like they handed their stuff into the editor, I did my bit, and then it was just move on to the next issue straight away before he'd even sat down.
A big learning curve then.
Oh yeah, massive learning curve, yeah. I've definitely learned how to...
drink.
Coffee,
right?
Just learned to like forgive myself on like finishing if something doesn't turn out exactly how I want it to, or like if I need to just hand it off to somebody else, or if there's a corner I can cut. So if I just, for the sake of just losing some background detail, which if you've read my stuff, you know I like doing background detail, there was a lot of me drawing little X's and going, that bit's black, that bit's black, just colour it in. So it was similar and dissimilar in some ways. But yeah,
okay.
It's good though. Enjoyed it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
No.
But we finished strong. We're the most accomplished person at this table.
No, you guys will get there. I do genuinely think you guys, because you guys have all got just as much passion for it as I do, if not probably more. I've just been
you're dead inside.
Laura will tell me off for saying this, because she always tells me off when I say this, but I like to think I'm quite lucky, but I've like worked on the luck, and you guys would do exactly the same. So it's just,
I think that statement can go out to everyone. If you're passionate about it, and you love it, then you'll just be happy with the work you do, and then good stuff will come to you. Because if you're trying to do it for anyone else, there's no.
Yeah, I mean, the only way I've got into big stuff is just doing my own stuff until the right person saw it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Well, quite a deep and meaningful end to the show.
Yeah.
Tony, do you want to ruin it?
Still around.
Yeah. So we're just going to get a little bit of audience participation. Now, as you all know, I sign off every show with the words stay awesome. Now, recently, I've thrown it over to Tony and Dan to say it, and every week they have let me down. So I want everyone in this room to say it. Stay awesome.
The whole thing.
Yeah, the whole thing.
It's only two words.
Only two words. Unbelievable. Can't do anything. Are you going to say it as well, Chris?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Fucking nice one.
Yeah. Well done. He was worth inviting on. No, but thank you. We really appreciate you hanging around for the day and coming to this panel.
Yeah,
like, because we're sat at the end of the day and everyone's tired. And you can probably hear it in my voice. My voice is going.
You sound better than the other day, though, with the last podcast.
Don't bring that up.
But as soon as I saw him last night, I was like, "Are you okay?" And he sounded really upset.
Yeah. Thanks. I'm over it now.
Are you?
No.
We lost all of Izzy's audio. That was tragic.
Yeah. But Iz cannot escape us forever. She is coming back on the show, so don't worry about that. But thank you for coming to this panel. It's been wonderful.
Buy tickets for Cardiff.
Yes, we got Cardiff up on June the 2nd.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we've also got Leamington on 14th of April that we're going to be at.
And when's Swindon, Sarah? Do you know yet?
March 24th.
Oh, yeah, close. March 24th. What's the name of it? It's the Incredible Comic Shop. Yeah. Oh my, I can't believe I remembered that.
Oh, nice. Amazing.
I'll be there for that by the sound of it.
Yep.
Yay.
And Laura as well. I think Laura's joining me as well.
Don't want to come in, Laura.
Yeah. I don't want to be you, Tony. Nottingham Comic Con, which is happening again on 20th of October 2018. That's where we're going to be.
Yeah, you know. That's our schedule.
And who knows what will turn up in between then, because we just seem to turn up at the opening of a packet of crisps. But you never know. But yeah, we hope to see you at some of these shows, because you know we're like family now, aren't we? Oh, isn't that nice? Yeah.
Thank you for being a friend.
But let's do this sign-off.
Let's do this sign-off. Thank you very much for joining us on the panel. Go forth and enjoy the rest of your week. Read all the comics. And love them, and tune in next week for our next show. And from Tony, Dan, myself, and Christian, the master.
That's me.
Have a brilliant week, and as always,
stay awesome.
Best Thank you, guys. Now go on and live your life.
There you go, that's how you do a panel, isn't it?
Nice. Yeah.
I haven't heard it yet.
Yes. Once again, thank you to everyone that turned up to the panel. You made it brilliant. It was like I think it went quite well. It was like
It was nice that everyone knew us and it was listeners. Yeah. It was fun, wasn't it?
There was a couple of faces I didn't recognise, so hopefully they'll listen to this and think, I was there. I'm never going back there again. No, it was great. It was great fun. The whole day was great fun. So instead of me asking for shout-outs, we're just going to show a bit of thanks now to some of the people we met and some of the times we had. So there's going to be no recommendations this week.
But we'll mention a couple of books as we go along, won't we, I think.
So
did
who
you
want,
guys
yeah,
get
yeah,
my my your, scroll through?
Yeah, your
my
yeah. list. Yeah, you've got a list. So you go through it, Tony, and then...
We'll shout up about if you want to mention anyone or add something or somebody I've forgotten. So Friday night we got there, we all met at the hotel. What time did we get there? It was about 3, wasn't it? Something like that.
Yeah.
And then we sat in the bar, and then slowly people arrived, and the one table that we sat around like turned into about 5. Mm-hmm. And I think at one point we used up every chair in the bar.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah. So first up was I'm going to call him the fourth member for the weekend with the Gibster.
Yeah,
James Gibbs. Legend. Yeah, and he helped us out with the table and helped us carry stuff in and helped us lark about, obviously. So that was good. And he bought me a copy of Yang, the comic Yang, which is very kind of him, which I'll be reading later.
He got me a copy of the Vandroid.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And he gifted me a copy of Airboy number one. So
Airboy. I love Airboy.
Yeah. I know. And I'm the one that hasn't read it yet, so.
Oh, you'll love that, mate. You will love that. It's like you and me when we shared a room.
Oh,
that's
God.
What I'm going to say. Yeah.
Don't say that. I'll never read it again. I don't want to experience that again.
Yeah. And then Aaron and Kate joined us from Little Heroes. It's good to see them. Yeah. Did you get a copy?
I didn't get a chance to get a copy. That was one of the things when I looked at my list. I thought, oh, I haven't got that.
Yeah,
so I'll probably
didn't get that or the bloody charity one. I forgot.
So I'll be picking those up online, I think.
Yeah, so that's Little Heroes. Find them, littleheroescomics.co.uk. It's nice because it's the first of the two things that I was in this weekend, so I was quite pleased. And it's come out really well. It looks really nice. And I got a copy of the original cover and also the variant by Mr. Thorpe.
Nice.
Which is top stuff. More about him in a minute.
Awesome.
Chris Wildgoose and Laura Trinder, stroke Wildgoose, who joined us in the bar Friday night, and then sadly for them, had the table next to us. I don't repeat this ever to me, and I will deny saying it, Chris and Laura, but they're the nicest people in the world, aren't they?
Yeah, they're lovely.
And super talented.
I actually, when I came home, I was talking about Chris and Laura and, like, you know, the fun we had and stuff. And I said, oh, they're just the nicest people in the world. And Joe said to me, how nice are they? I said, they're just really nice. If you had an ice cream and you dropped it on the floor, would they buy you a new one? And I said,
yeah,
probably. I went, oh, they're nice, aren't they? That's how nice they are.
Do you live in a little fairy tale house, don't you? He's like, which ice cream do you find?
Yeah. I tell you what, the gingerbread costs are absolutely massive.
And those effing kids keep eating it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and they sold out.
Yeah.
I mean, they bought tons of books with them and sold out. And I've got to tell you, they probably sold more if Chris didn't do such sort of intricate art in the inside cover for free in each issue.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
And as you know by now, Chris was on the panel. So.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was funny as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. He makes me laugh. Yeah. It was a perfect choice for the panel. We didn't occur to us till the night before, didn't we, in our amazing planning?
Yeah.
We have a guest. What can you do it?
You should join us.
Rachel Smith joined us at the bar, and I did a panel on writing, the Writer's Studio it's called, with Rachel Smith, Anthony Johnston, who also joined us, and Mr. Mike Garley, Raz Breeder's husband. and that was really good. I wish more people had come, actually, because everyone was like really, really interesting. We got really deep into the weeds of, you know, there's something in the mailer coming this week, and I posed a question, do you need to fight a bull to write about it? And we got really deep into it, and I was really impressed with the sort of thoughts that were coming out of these people. Really good stuff. Mark Penman and James Lawrence turned up as well. They were good company, weren't they?
Yeah.
Make me laugh.
Yeah.
We larked about a bit with them at breakfast as well.
Yeah.
That's good. Stuart, Mighty Stuart, who ran True Believers this year, who managed not to have a breakdown and was amusing at every turn.
Yeah.
Came to the bar with Andy Hanks. Did you pick up Andy's sketchbook?
No.
No.
I Am Zoot?
I Am Zoot, yeah.
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 That looked great.
He posted some images on the Facebook group recently, and Pat Mills chimed in and said how much he liked it. And he said it blew my mind. Yeah, and I bought it. It's like an A4 sketchbook. This geezer has got some chops, I tell you now. Really nice. Yeah, very good. I'm surprised if someone doesn't hit him up for a bit of work soon. So they joined us in the bar. Big shout out to Stuart. He rocked it, didn't he?
He did really well.
Stuart and his team, like, just, they were running about helping everyone. I didn't, you know, there wasn't an unhappy face.
Yeah, and we got there and we got a mug and some sweets and a hand sanitizer on a little pack.
Yeah.
And like a handwritten card to everyone. Thanks for coming. Thanks for supporting the show and all this sort of thing, you know. Now, that was the night before. Did I miss anyone out there, do you think?
No, I think that was it. We're going to miss loads of people out.
Yeah.
Our minds are like Swiss cheese this morning. And then, obviously, Chris and Laura were on one side of our table, and on the other side was the Mighty Prolix, Nick Prolix, next door to us. And you just heard an interview with him. Do you know what? I love Nick. Nick's superb to deal with and collaborate with and to be a mate with. And, you know, we talk to each other every day. And at one point, right at the end of the show, he came up to us, and it was quite a touching moment, wasn't it, guys? We were just talking about it. And he said about 2 years ago, I thought, oh, I might get into comics again and listen to a podcast. He listened to us. We got him sort of a bit motivated. I'm going to say that. Is that a good way to put it?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, obviously, not going to take any credit for the magnificent
talented individual. Yeah. It's all down to us. And now we're working with him in our anthology. So yeah, couldn't be a nicer bloke to work with either. Got to tell you.
Yeah.
Really good. And next to him was the worst bloke in comics.
Absolutely and despicable nemesis, human being.
Mr. Mike Garley, Matt Garvey.
I'll always have that, won't I?
Those pictures. Dan's done a blog post sort of thing about the event, and he's sort of put sound effects into you two punching each other. Yeah. I must have been on a panel when you did that, because it made me laugh out loud.
We recreated the final scene from Rocky 3.
Oh, yes!
Yeah, that's what that is. Because before we did it, Matt went, ding, ding. yeah. And he sounded that camp when he said it as well.
Yeah. Throughout the day, you're like, there's going to be people I'm going to miss, so apologies. Tom Curry. Tom showed me some art he's doing for Slice. Looks brilliant, Tom. Can't wait. I'm going to be sending Tom a script very soon, because he's stepped up again, like a lot of people we chat to. Sarah Harris. Sarah came round. We've got a present from Sarah, didn't we? We got like a corner box. She's done like art, which is a corner box of a Marvel comic. Well, I got Captain Britain. What did you guys get?
I got Captain America.
I picked out Doctor Doom. Does that say a lot about us?
And she was running about, and she had a... I think her and Susie Gander had this joke where, because Susie was sick, get better soon, Susie, she had her head on like a lollipop stick. Not a real head.
Yeah,
like
not a real head.
And it went around taking pictures with it. And it was like one of those popular things of the day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Everyone was having the picture taken with this, and I did one of the panels recently that Susie was meant to be on, and in the fourth seat was this lollipop stick. Dan Harris and Chris Carter, always good to chat to them. Thorpe, we've already heard from him.
Yeah.
Heard him shouting at us. Sam Webster, I bought Sam's comic, and I got to meet Mrs. Webster.
Me too, yeah.
Yeah. Kev Cooling, it's good to see Kev. I think I missed him when he came to the table, and he did you a little zine or something, didn't he?
Yeah, Sarah Millman. A big shout out to Sarah. I didn't get a chance to probably chat to her, because I think she was quite busy all day as well. She was doing workshops in the day, first time ever doing them. But she did like a sort of zine workshop, didn't she? And Kev Cooling went to that and did an awesome zine, which I've got in front of me now. Action
zine.
You
have to scan it and stick it up.
It's a tale of terror and shame. And you should be ashamed of yourself, Kev. No, it's great.
Kev
had
his niece with him, and it was like he was saying, "Right, don't mention how many comics I bought. Don't mention to anyone."
Yeah.
And his niece was going, "You've only bought two comics." Like this, something like she'd been like hypnotized. You only bought two. Like this is quite funny. I like Kev. He's a funny guy, isn't he? Do you know what I mean? Andy CT.
Yeah.
Came past.
Yeah, with one of his compadres from Horde Comics. Greg Mason. I believe.
I didn't recognise Andy when he first came out, so apologies, Andy. But
he had to use himself.
Yeah,
but it was good, and he was one of the people, the recipients of our initial five send-outs, wasn't he? So he was pleased, as was Tom and Sarah, I think.
And he was the only one that commissioned me to do any artwork.
Nice.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Real.
I said, I think at the end of that point of the day, I wouldn't have recognised my own mum coming up. So that's a reflection on me, not you.
Who else have I got here? I've got Chris Imber, Chris Jenkins, Matt King, Reckless.
Yeah.
It's good to see them. They were busy boys all day. Kept seeing people walk past with like prints they bought from them.
Yeah.
The Irish contingent, not the Irish, the Welsh contingent, Danny Abrams, Emily Owen, Gavin Mitchell, PJ Montgomery, and Iz McAuliffe. I'll talk about her in a minute. The Blorster, Andy Blore, who was there, came over, just sort of took the piss out of us, had a laugh, went back to the table, something like that. But you bought some art, didn't you? Was it you, Dan? You bought some.
Yeah, I did. You did as well, didn't you, Vince?
Yeah, I bought two pages of Andy Blore's original art.
Ah, yeah, of course, yeah.
And amazing stuff. It was actually
nice.
Amazing! Like when I said to Joe, Andy's selling his pages for £10 each. She said, "Get them."
And I've got a page as well. Yeah, I've previously bought a page from him. Yeah.
What I love about his art as well.
Sorry?
What I love about his art as well, you look at the portfolio, I mean, it's impossible to choose a page because there's a there's a consistency that goes all the way through.
Yeah. I had my fingers in about like five bits of art, like that one or that one, and I had to make the hard decision of which one I was going to get.
Yeah.
I'd say I think he uses £10 worth of ink on a page.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, a lot of intricate detail. So Kev and Kel Brett came over, our friends from Nottingham Comic Con. Kev, I bought Artist Angst from him, which if you go look at my Twitter stream, you'll see that I put a panel up on it from it today, which is a mutual sharing of hatred that me and Kev have. Kev couldn't hate anyone if he tried, but it just made me laugh about people who get invited to comic conventions. And it's a real, real funny little book. Kev should be recognised more because he does like funny sort of newspaper strip type comics, isn't he? That are really all good. I really enjoy his stuff. I buy all of his stuff. They were great company, and we saw them Friday night. They're the people we forgot to mention Friday night, didn't we? Because they came in the bar before we went to the White Suite. Jimmy Furlong, had a chat with Jimmy Sidesy and Chris Deville. I kept missing Chris because Chris was doing a workshop as well, and I think I missed him. But Sidesy came over for a chat.
Yeah.
The King Legacy guys.
Yep, they were there. Nice guys.
Yeah. See them. Dan and Lisa Marie Malia. The next stop is Leamington on the 14th of April.
Well, actually, the next stop will be the Swindon Incredible Comic Show.
Oh, of course. Yeah, bloody hell. I know. Sarah's going to kill me, isn't she?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stop her.
You mentioned it. It's fine.
Yeah, you are.
Announced today I'm interviewing John Wagner at that, so that's out there now. Awesome. I know I've interviewed a couple of people at the convention, but I'm super excited about that. It's going to be great fun. I've already started the research around that one. So if anyone's got a question, they fancy sending John. I mean, he's had a great career, sent it through to me. Todd Oliver came around. He came around quite early, I think, before opening, didn't he? We had a chat with Tom, and his new issue of Boxes was out, wasn't it?
The issue 4 of Boxes.
That's it. Yeah.
Which is an amazing series, one of my favourites. That is. And he told us about something that another series he's
working on. Oh yes, he did.
On.
Yeah.
Don't want to spoil anything, but it sounds like it could be absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Dobes, I've written here brackets the master.
He's a ledge.
Yeah, absolutely good man. Every time he came over, he said, "I would come over and bother you more, but you're always really busy whenever I come to the table."
he was making me laugh. Rory. Rich Illustration, Rory Donald. We love Rory. And he was one of the reasons the recording came out, wasn't he? He was panicking a bit because he thought he turned it off accidentally.
Yes.
And his good lady wife as well, who came to our panel as well, who's, unfortunately, I'm really sorry, Rory, I can't remember her name, but I saw her giggling along. I felt a bit, she's never listened to the pod. She might not quite understand me shouting boobs out every 5 minutes, but she seemed to enjoy it. I got a nice message through him saying she enjoyed it today.
Yeah.
Josh was there as well, but Kirsty didn't come along. I spoke to Josh and he said Kirsty had gone to a cat convention.
I can't begrudge that. I would have gone to that instead. But Dan, you did a Judge Dredd, didn't you, for Josh?
I did, yeah. Kind of one of the deals I was doing, if you bought a Vanguard, I would do like a commission sketch, and he wanted Dredd. So I sat there doing Judge Dredd.
His Judge Dredd sketchbook that was he was gutted about.
Oh, he loves that book as well. Yeah, that's a great book. But I've seen
now
that.
He's got a
he said he was
going to
frame it and stick it on the wall. So that's
amazing.
As good.
Yeah, that's good. That's one of those sketchbooks. It's a little bit legendary because he's got some brilliant stuff in there, isn't he?
Yeah.
You know.
And something by me.
Yeah, get off. And then I did some panels. So I did writing with Rachel Smith, Anthony Johnson, and Mike Garley. I did crowdfunding with Rob Jones, Lyndon White, Sarah Millman, and John Latey. All of them. I tell you what, guys, you go to a convention, go to a panel.
Yeah.
You walk around on your feet all day, it's knackering.
Yeah.
There was gold, especially if you're looking to crowdfund a comic. You know, there's reasonably well attended, and some good questions actually from the audience. But there was some gold going around from people who have had real dramas, real successes, you know, on Kickstarters and like what to do and what not to do and how much to think you should charge around this. And don't say, one suddenly said, don't say you're going to sketch in every book you send out. You will hate yourself if you say that. You know, this little, you think, all right, if it's real success, why on earth did I say that? You know, little tips, really good. And then I also popped along to the New Sensations panel, which was run by the mighty Izzy McAuliffe. And on that was Claire Spiller, Bryony Evans, whose name I got completely wrong, and Rachel Smith accused me of just saying a noise when I was trying to remember her name because I was so tired, and Elizabeth Elizabeth Questrit, all brilliant, like funny. Do you know what I mean? Really entertaining. In fact, everyone in every panel was. We were sort of giggling away. Really interesting. It's a shame we weren't recorded, actually. I'm particularly proud of writing and the writing and crowdfunding ones. Everyone was really good, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome.
They're the names I had, unless you had any other names.
No, that's it. Yeah, well, good me.
Yeah.
Well, we had the. There was obviously some of the good folk that we interviewed there. I mean, the Disconnected guys, Connor and Lizzie. It was great to catch up with them, and I was speaking to them for another 10 minutes.
I didn't speak to Lizzie. I spoke to Connor very briefly, but didn't get enough time.
Always a pleasure. Hopefully, if they do that Froom Comic Day again, you know, those are the guys that organise that, and that's always a good time. And you mentioned Claire Spiller there. I finally got my hands on a printed copy of Lost Light.
Oh, you did get that. Oh, good. Yeah.
Yeah, and I know you got her sketchbook, which I forgot about and I really want. So, they'll be at Cardiff.
October. Good stuff. Yeah.
So, and it was good. Lyndon White finally meeting him. You may hear more from him in the future.
Yeah, he was good. He was good on the crowdfunding panel. Yeah. And he said he decided to see one good idea. He'd seal a book with like an old wax seal.
Yeah.
He said he did that. He said it took ages to do, but the good thing is some people didn't want to break the seal, so they bought two copies.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
And I mean, obviously you got the interviews there from Russell Mark Olson and Steve Sims. Now, Steve does Battle Badgers and Russell does Gateway City, and from the looks of them, they're going to be two of my favourite indie titles.
Yeah, I bought them.
Yeah.
Russell did me a commission. I can't say what it is or who it's for because it's for a mate's birthday. But gorgeous. I showed you two guys that night.
Yeah, that's cool. Really nice.
I
was going to say also, if you didn't get a chance to pick up the, or you weren't there on the day to pick up the Awesome Comic issue one, you can get it online. Big Cartel store.
Yeah.
You go to awesomecomicpod.bigcartel.com. You can buy the digital version or the print version.
Yeah.
Digital's £1 and the print version £3. I think that's a really competitive price.
Yeah. Oh, £3 was like a great price for the day, and it worked for us, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, 30 odd pages, whatever it is, 36 pages. Yeah, it's great.
And I think the biggest shout out, I mean, we've no doubt forgotten a name here or two, but you know, in all honesty, we're frazzled, and you know who you are, and you know we love you.
Yeah.
And thank you to everyone, and we do genuinely mean it, who came to the table, who chatted with us, interacted with us, who picked up a issue of the comic. Or Vanguard, or Sketches, or whatever, because you really did make the day just an absolutely kick-ass start to 2018.
And to the new series of comics, and to our new series, which we've been banging on about, but as soon as we put it on the table, people bought it, and as soon as we put it online, people bought it. It was brilliant,
And I know we talk a good game, but when we had it there are nerves when you launch a comic.
Yeah, good, yeah. I think we stepped up, though.
Yeah. So
man up, Dan.
Yeah. If you like it, spread the word because we've got plenty of copies or digital copies, you know. So you know, and there's more to come because issue 2 is in production as we speak.
Yeah.
So,
nice one.
Yeah, to Stu and everyone from True Believers, you know, a massive thumbs up. I saw, you know, it was one of the busiest post-con social media moments that I've had in ages. There, I saw so many amazing pictures of like comics that people have bought, and I saw like pictures of titles that I thought that looks great. Why, you know, I have to keep an eye out for that one next time.
Yeah.
I mean, I did my own swag picture, and I forgot. Oh, I've got to say, I neglected to put one of my nicest bits of swag, which was Mike Garley's Samurai Slasher T-shirt.
Which is
gorgeous and very interesting because Mike said he almost didn't bring them with him. And they were a smash hit. So
that's good. Yeah,
there you go. T-shirts always good. Have we got any left, Tony? Or there's no point.
We've got a few larges left.
Yeah.
That's about it, really.
Yeah. So if you want a large, small press Comics Are Awesome T-shirt, give us a DM and we'll hook you up. We'll sort you out.
Same as the Jam piece. The Jam piece print. We've still got a few of them left. You want one of them? We've got no more Kung Fu left.
Yeah.
And we've got some Murder Roads left, have we?
Yeah, the Murder Road print, I think I'm going to just do them as giveaways and do stuff like that. I might do a different print like the Murder, you know. I did that I did a bit of artwork, did a load of prints, and then I did another bit of artwork and liked that better than the print I did. So who knows? You might get a Murder Road print in the future. Who knows?
Yeah. The jam piece, we've still got a few. So if you,
yeah.
And we've got tubes now. So if you need any, let us know. Cool.
Yeah. So it's going to be a busy old time in Awesome HQ. yeah. But the first convention was a cracker, and it's it's inspirational when you're just in a room full of like really nice people, and that's what the small press community is.
Yeah, it was. So, yeah, it was good. Yeah, and we sold to some people we didn't know, which is always good for the small press community.
I mean, more on the next show because I've got.
Yeah, we definitely endeavour to make an effort to give you people some absolutely new content, and because this show is all about discovering, new creators and new comics, and I certainly did yesterday. So
yeah, I've got a few to talk about now. Oh, it's brilliant, you know.
And next week we're going to be back to normal. We have a guest next week that is a personal favourite artist of mine. I know, Tony, you're also a big fan of this.
I love his stuff, yeah.
So we won't announce it now, because no, my luck, I don't know, the internet will actually just collapse, or electricity will collapse. And,
something like Trump will get in, there'll be Brexit. Oh, that's happened. And then
they do come in threes, don't they?
I've got a couple of shout-outs, guys, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it.
Quick ones. If you go to comicsflix.org, they're about to launch a new magazine called Comic Scene. It's a subscriber-only specialist A4 monthly magazine, and it's a showcase for comics and a sort of associated things. The first issue is coming in May, but if you go before Valentine's Day, if you go and subscribe for a year, you get an issue free, and you also get a spud gun. How cool is that?
That's cool.
It's like the old days. Yeah. And there might be a few familiar writers in it. Me. And a few other people, so it's a little bit of a new thing. I've got contacts about at the weekend. I'm very excited about it. I'm already lining up a couple of interviews and articles. Also, a couple of Kickstarters. The Human Beings is on Kickstarter. Stuart has smashed it again. Absolutely smashed through $1,500 in like 24 hours. And it's a trade of the first five issues or the fifth issue or both, if you want, which I've gone for. Sliced is also on Kickstarter. Almost there with Sliced. I'm in Sliced this month, and a lot of really good people who are better than me are in it as well. So go over and look at the Kickstarter for Sliced. He's almost there, and it's a lovely package. Lovely. It's the second trade. Really nice what he's doing over there. And also Tales from Beyond Infinity, which is a charity comic from OK True Believers. So if you go to OK True Believers on Twitter, follow the links, and you can buy a copy of that. And Mr. Hunt is in it.
Yay!
Nice. Hey.
Yeah,
a brand new Red Mask strip.
Yes, it's a really good one, and it's one I saw a while ago from you, but it's got one of the best sort of fight scene things I think you've done, dude. I really like it.
Oh,
yeah,
good.
A bit of action. Really good.
You can clear when you read it, you can clearly see what the inspiration was. But it's just a bit of fun, and there's more Red Mask. I had a few questions. Where's issue 4?
And Kel was giving you some shit about that, wasn't she? I love Kel.
Brett, I will get the physical the shop back online so people can buy physical copies of it. I've been very lax with that, but thank you for giving me a kick up the bum. So there you go, so that was great, but you should get that. I just suddenly realised it. I actually circled their name as well, PJ Montgomery and Lisa from the Trolltooth Wars.
I said PJ, I didn't say Lisa.
Lisa wasn't very well, so I hope she's feeling better now, but so it was a brilliant show. And now we can rest, can't we?
Yeah, and here, listen out for the Swindon event that Sarah Harris is organising.
Yeah.
Before she shoots me or something.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. And we know behind the scenes there's some great, great guests lined up to that one, so it's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. So normal service is going to resume, people. We've got some brilliant guests lined up over the next few weeks. And expect more fantastic.
Some people you won't expect as well, aren't they? At least three of them you think, oh, that's a surprise.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, how'd they get them? Yeah.
I tell you what is a surprise. Well, no, I'm not going to tell you because that would ruin the surprise. Was that a shit joke?
There's was it a bit like my balls in the hotel room?
oh, is that what that was?
I do like the fact we both sleep laugh. That is still making me chuckle now.
Yeah. Do you know what? There's so many things I could say right now, but I'm not going to.
Lights out, no talking.
But do you want to know, folks? There's several different ways that you can get in touch to ask me what on earth happened that night, on that fateful night. You can email us, awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Likewise, tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. We need to do another competition at some point, don't we? Some sort of
That's true.
We do have an Ask Auntie Tony.
Oh, do we?
That's going to be coming up soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think so. I've got a feeling I might know who that's from.
Yeah. Obviously, you won't be able to name them, Tony. Yeah. But that could be coming up soon. Maybe not when a guest is on, because they won't know what the hell we're talking about. But yeah. But if you do the social medias and stuff, follow us on Twitter at The Awesome Pod, where we announce the latest guests, what's been going on. We will certainly be shouting about the comic and letting you know how the progress on the next issue is going. And always retweeting fantastic stuff you need to be checking out. So go to the Awesome Comics Pod. No, The Awesome Pod, sorry. I can't believe I messed up around Twitter. That's how tired I am. But you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. Join the Facebook group, Awesome Comics Talk, which I think we should probably, rather than lots of little messages or something, let's just have a sort of true believers sort of swag feed, and then everyone can just talk
like
about
that.
what a great time it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I might start that as we speak, so go join the group. And thank you to all the new people that have joined the group, actually. So we want to see you get involved and start talking some comments.
Yeah, start posting stuff up.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people from all over the world that we've said, are you a listener? And they said, yeah, I'm a listener. And I'm like, oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
I didn't realise that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
So welcome to the show, one and all.
Yeah.
Good luck to you. And thank you for listening to us, whether it is on the website, awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife, what other networks are we on, Tony?
Pod Rampage.
Then then leave us a review.
It's ready
if you
with
can.
That one. Yeah. I've actually got a copy of Rampage Monthly in front of me, so I suddenly panicked and thought, what can I say?
Oh, God, it's not like you to panic. but spread the word about the show, because more people are going to discover even more brilliant new indie books this year. That is going to be our mission. So there you go. Thank you very much for listening to it. I hope you've enjoyed all the audio. It came out right. Let us know what you think.
Yeah, I think definitely look out for Dan's post, because it really, to me, you sent it to us today, didn't you? And you posted. It really, to me, communicates what a laugh it was all day. Yeah, really.
As soon as I get the link from the show, I'll stick it on and then we'll go live for it. And yeah, hopefully the kind of fun and mucking around we had on the day will come through on that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, good.
Yeah. So before we sign off, if you like the sound of Awesome Comics number one, where again can people get it, Dan?
You can get it. I'll just shut the link down now. the Awesome Pod at Big Cartel. If you search Big Cartel and Awesome Comic Podcast, it'll pop up.
Yeah.
There you go.
Or just look on any of our social media feeds. We've been pimping it out like a mother.
Yeah, I think I've got it here, actually. awesomecomicpod.bigcartel.com. There you go.
And if you already have the issue and you want to say something about it, then send us a letter, because you never know.
Might get an issue two.
Might be an issue two. but please send us a letter about the actual strips, not like has that rash cleared up
abuse
yet.
Yeah.
Nice one.
Anyway, thank you for listening. Where can people find us online, etc., Tony?
Ezo, yes, EZOHYZ on Twitter, and neveronanything.blogspot.co.uk for some articles. I'll put a new one up today. There's one about to go up, so there you go.
And if you want to find, have you done the tiny letter?
Yeah, tinyletter.com/cockneykungfu. I've just written it actually today about the writers panel that we did and exploring some of the stuff we talked about there. And I always like it when Nick writes back and said, I really like that one, because he's sort of fairly honest with me, Nick. And I thought, oh, that's good.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah,
nice.
There you go.
Nice. Honest Dan, where can people find you?
You can find me at Vanguard Comic, and you can be Vanguard at Vanguard. Have I just done that? On Twitter, at Vanguard Comic. Can we get at VanguardComic.com? You see, you can tell
we're
on the
done.
Show, so fucking
done.
Up. Yeah.
He's absolutely done. But I tell you what, he's still churning out brilliant pages of Vanguard.
Yeah.
Absolutely magnificent. Get back on it, folks.
And you were showing the guns off. I know Iz came over late, early in the day, and she went, look, I'm wearing your T-shirt, but I've cut the sleeves off. And you've gone, I've cut my sleeves off. And you gave her a bit of the old guns there. That was nice.
I tried to woo the, what do you call it, lady over, the BBC lady with the guns, but is unimpressed.
Stuart was trying to be interviewed, and all he could see in his eye line was me making the wanker sign at him. By the BBC.
Do you see what I have to deal with on a weekly basis, folks? You can find me on Twitter at JesterDiablo. You can find out more about my comic, which is coming back soon, at theredmaskfrommars.com, and the shop will be back on Cow, I swear. but yeah, there you go. That was True Believers in the bag. Brilliant.
Yes.
Onwards and upwards. We need to get on with our comic and get ready for the next show.
Yeah. So, lights out, no talking.
Exactly. Dan, get the hot water bottle ready. Tony?
I'm going to bed.
What are you
going to
say?
Like now.
Oh, Dan's going to bed now. Oh, quick. Let's join him. Thank you for listening, folks. From Dan, Tony, and myself. Have an amazing week. Read loads of indie comics. And as always, stay
awesome.
Well, I was almost proud of you both. So then bad. I did not expect it, because it's been so awful for the past few weeks.
That was pretty awful.
It's almost like our byline.
That's true.
Yeah,
but thanks, folks. Stay awesome. See you later.
See you later.
Next time we do it, you show us that, because I'll just hold it between us as opposed to having it on a table.
Yeah, I'm keeping that bit of audio.